grassroots movement, I think there are a lot of con men and scamsters coming in and tricking good Americans into sending them money, claiming we are fighting for you, and they aren't fighting for you.
Listen, the people that I know are there in the trenches every day. This is what they
no,
do.
The ones out in America, yeah, but a lot of them, I think, and a lot of the rich ones are
I don't know what the rich groups are.
Basically, anyone who claims to be going after establishment Republicans, the key word there is Republican. That means the media won't get on their back and look at their finances, and it also means Republican. If we don't elect Republicans, I don't care which Republican, we will not repeal Obamacare. You know, I've said it so much, I'm getting to be like you, Hannity. The only way to repeal Obamacare is to elect Republicans.
Here's
it is not
question.
To be
rhinos is an insult. It means, as far as the Tea Party and others are concerned, it's anybody to the left of Ted Cruz is a rhino, a Republican in name only, which, as I say, is an insult. But you know what? The real rhinos are the people in the Tea Party and on the hard right, because they have made it clear over and over again that their allegiance is not to the Republican Party, but to their particular brand of concern.
On behalf of the American people who sent us here to do their work. Frankly, I think they're misleading their followers. I think they're pushing our members in places where they don't want to be. And frankly, I just think that they've lost all credibility. You know, well, they pushed us into this fight to defund Obamacare and to shut down the government. Most of you know, my members know.
Fortunately, we had three or four dozen Republicans in the House who are Cruz Republicans who basically threatened to bring the House down if John Boehner did not pursue this policy. John knew it was not going to work, but he probably had no choice. I understand his position. But I'm really more concerned about why more Republicans around the country didn't join me in denouncing Ted Cruz. I mean, now we have people who are on the sidelines who are coming forward, but we have to take a stand here. We cannot allow our party to be taken over by the likes of Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. I mean, these are people who are isolationists. I consider them rhinos.
Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take it.
Regime change in Iraq would bring about a number of benefits to the region.
We will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
I think they're in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency.
Now, Rand Paul, pointing to things like that, wrote in the Wall Street Journal also, many of those clamoring for military action now are the same people who made every false assumption imaginable about the cost, challenge, and purpose of the Iraq war. They have been wrong for so long. Why should we listen to them again? Your response?
With all due respect, John, I was a strong supporter then of going into Iraq. I'm a strong supporter now. Everybody knows what my position is. There's nothing to be argued about there. But if we spend our time debating what happened 11 or 12 years ago, we're going to miss the threat that is growing and that we do face. Rand Paul, with all due respect, is basically an isolationist.
Someone is responsible, and it's important for those of us who love liberty and resent Big Brother government, identify the philosophic supporters who have the most to say about the direction our country is going. These are the neoconservatives of recent fame. Granted, they are talented and achieved a political victory that all policymakers must admire. But can freedom and the Republic survive this takeover? That question should concern us. Neoconservatives are obviously in positions of influence and are well-placed throughout our government and the media. The neoconservatives, a name they gave themselves, diligently worked their way into positions of power and influence. Above all else, they were not and are not conservatives dedicated to limited constitutional government. More recently, the modern-day neocons have come from the far left, a group historically identified as former Trotskyites. Liberal Christopher Hitchens has just recently joined the neocons, and it has been reported that he has already been to the White House as an ad hoc consultant. Many neocons now in position of influence in Washington can trace their status back to Professor Leo Strauss.
Liberty or doubt, walk so proudly here. Once you provoke her, rattling of a tail. Never begins it, never a once in a never surrenders, doing the fame that
The problem is nobody should define what being conservative means.
Go ahead.
And I think that is our problem. Conservatives means we have smaller government and more liberty. And yet, if you ask what have we done, I think we've lost our way completely. Our rhetoric is still pretty good. But when we get in charge, we expand the government. You talk about Dodd-Frank, but we gave them Sarbanes-Oxley. We gave debts as well, you know, when we're in charge. So if it means limited government, you have to ask a basic question. What should the role of government be? The founders asked that question, had a revolution, wrote a constitution. And they said the role of government ought to be to protect liberty. It's not to run a welfare state and not to be the policeman of the world. And so if you're going to conservative, how can you be conservative and cut food stamps, but you won't cut spending overseas? There's not a nickel or penny that anybody will cut on the conservative side overseas spending, and we don't have the money. They're willing to start more wars. So I say if you're conservative, you want small government across the board, especially in personal liberty. What's wrong with having people, the government, out of our personal lives? So this is what we have to decide, what conservative means, what limited government means. Now I have a simple suggestion. We have a pretty good guide, and if we follow the Constitution, government would be very small, and we would all be devoted conservatives.
I think that the heart of my philosophy is much more libertarianism than, that's the fashionable word these days, I guess. A conservative is no longer just that, he's a libertarian. Well, always has been. Because how do we call a liberal? You know, someone very profoundly once said, many years ago, that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
But the tone that's going to win is one that focuses on this is how we're going to help you and your family. It's something that speaks to the middle class and to the poor in America, that helps us as a party to shed the label that has been designed for us by those on the left, the sort of caricatured label that says we're somehow the party of the top 1%. And these things simply aren't true. We're conservative not in spite of our compassion. We are conservative because we are compassionate. And that's really the tone that we're trying to strike.
The last election will not be found among those who voted. It will be found by polling those who stayed home, the biggest non-voter bloc in our nation's history. And why did they stay home? Well, because they said they couldn't see any difference between the two parties. I think they're basically wrong, but I think this is also an indication of what our answer should be to those who would make us more like the opponents. I am a convert to republicanism. I spent most of my adult life as a Democrat, and I can testify that when I found I could no longer follow the leadership of the Democratic Party, I became a Republican not because the parties were the same, but precisely because they were different. More than half of those who didn't vote have been polled and say it no longer makes any difference which party wins. Now some have taken another course. There are some among us, and I respect their views, who suggest that that means an end to the Republican Party, that we should form a new third party. May I suggest an alternative to that? Let's have a new first party, a Republican Party, raising a banner of bold colors, no pale pastels, a banner instantly recognizable as standing for certain values which will not be compromised. Yes, we must broaden our base, but let's broaden it the way we did in 1972, because those Americans, Democrats and Independents and Republicans, are still out there looking for a banner around which to rally. And we have what they want, what they're seeking, but they don't know that. And sometimes I wonder if we...
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have, and I think it's sad to watch the establishment grow hysterical.
I will say Rand Paul has been the most consistently principled person talking about issues, and yeah, Nehru's right, he takes on Republicans. So what? That's good for America. I'd love to see Hillary take on Democrats with the same courage.
Senior Senator from Arizona urged this body to trust the Republicans. Let me be clear, I don't trust the Republicans. And I don't trust the Democrats. And I think a whole lot of Americans likewise don't trust the Republicans and the Democrats, because it is leadership in both parties that has gotten us in this mess.
Imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. You may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty.
Thunder. America is under assault by enemies foreign and domestic. Political correctness has silenced thought, and most Americans are programmed by the corporatist media into a false left-right paradigm. The truth is, there is an entrenched duopoly that controls the electoral process, so that whether you choose a jackass or an elephant, you get the same old, same old. The new tyrant's face to front for the unelected and connected transnationalists. Congress is nothing but a rubber stamp for K Street drafted autocracy under color of law on behalf of those who control the money supply and the foreign policy, irrespective of which party is in, quote, power. America is a police state at home and an empire abroad, yet most Americans still think they're free because the money is flowing. Hedonism and entertainment distractions abound, and we live in the fear of the most recent monsters, both real and fabricated. Is this the vision of the Founding Fathers? Is this truly the liberty for which the brave have bled down through the ages? No. This is nothing but a facsimile of freedom with a deceitful veneer of moral courage. So long as the secret owners of the Federal Reserve control the money, credit, and economy of these United States, our military might will be used to secure their fortunes across the globe, shed the blood of innocence, and tarnish the red stripes of those who fought for liberty and the white stars that shine on the blue field of unwavering champions of the good, the true, and the beautiful. A nation with over $17 trillion, trillion with a T, in public debt, equal to our annual economic output, led by a pink-pantied sissy community organizer corporatist meat puppet, sanctions a nation with far less debt, the resources to back it up, and a mainly national leader who is actually looking out for his own country's interests. This seems like a script for a disaster movie, but it is all too real. Brought to you by the fickle mob of sanctimonious suckers who not only tolerate but cheer a scandalous government run by an inept fool occupying the White House and a gaggle of sycophants in Congress, both diehard, quote, progressive Democrats and squishy Republicans in name only, the rhinos. The stock markets are booming, well, except for the last two market days, because the Federal Reserve is propping up the banks, while more Americans than ever are unemployed, underemployed, or reliant upon government-provided assistance, which are nothing more than arbitrary wealth redistribution schemes to gain political favor. The national borders are completely unsecure, inviting a locust horde desiring free stuff and our destruction. Foreign nationals, jihadis, and criminals flood our borders, while Americans suffer police state tyranny within and find that the borders are extremely secure if you, Mr. and Mrs. American citizen, attempt to expatriate your wealth. If you think pulling the lever for what you perceive to be the lesser of two evils in every race makes you free, you've lost. If you think the government is always the problem, you're sowing the seeds of chaos. If you think the government is always the solution, you've given up on liberty. If you think our problems have nothing to do with our culture, you're deluded. Our society is supposed to be one of virtue, duty, and rights, protected by the people, organized in a free state. A free state requires a limited government and a free people who choose to fulfill the duties commensurate with the free exercise of their rights. And it involves much, much more than merely voting. So long as we act like sanctimonious suckers, convinced of our own superiority, overwhelmed by scandal after scandal after scandal in an endless ratchet toward tyranny, we'll fall prey to merely electing those who rule over us. Instead of cheering sanctions against Russia, or pouring our scant resources into arming our own enemies and fighting with each other about our favorite issue, candidate, or football team, perhaps we should work together to restore limited government, sound money, and a foreign policy that puts the defense of America first. Some will wait to see what happens. Others will be wondering what happened. If you're listening to Liberty's thunder, you're one of the few who's willing to take action and influence what is about to happen. America is on the verge of fading away, not with a bang, but with a whimper. Sure, it'll look normal. Stars and stripes will fly, barbecues and ball games, apple pie. But when the prepared chaos is unleashed, the mob will clamor for a savior to restore order, and they'll trade precious liberty for false security. This is not that which we inherited. It is that which our forebears fought against. Your valor will not be rewarded if you stand alone. We need to grow our ranks, get more Americans involved, realize that the situation is dire, and know that only the bold will see liberty or death. Either work hard right now to restore constitutional governments for a free and virtuous nation by taking the right wing of the welfare warfare party of the District of Corruption, and then restore sound money, free markets, religious and civil liberties, and a sensible foreign policy of non-interventionism backed up by the biggest, baddest military on the planet. Or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who perpetuate an empire abroad and a police state at home, to defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists. First, you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Let's Roll, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City. Captain?
Oh, boy, and I'm your co-host, Trog, caveman from the Northwest. Good opening, good poem. I know it's not really a poem, but that's what we call it, just to keep ourselves humored through this process. There's a lot going on. And there's a lot of chatter about things that really don't matter because people don't get it. And that's probably, you know, my gist of my topic. I had a long conversation about our immigration discussion this morning with some people, And I found it interesting that I would say that, I don't know, 6, 8, 9 months ago when this immigration thing first reared its head, you know, we had posted a tremendous amount of information, you know, where's the heart of it come from, how long has it been going on, you know, actually several presidencies now. And everybody's doing the same thing. Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that, vote in Republicans and it'll all be fixed. And you know what? It's bullcrap. Because if you vote in the same Republicans that were there in the Bush era, which it looks like we're going to do in the 2014 midterms, you're going to get the same people that were part of the IE, North American Union vision under the Bush realm, which was started under the other Bush realm and was perpetuated through NAFTA under Clinton. So nothing changes, except you post 9,000 frickin' stories about everything that Obama's doing wrong, and nothing changes, which is, I know it's my biggest frustration, and I know that it probably is one of yours, but if people don't understand the core of what makes this country work and who the people are that are violating that, then voting for left or right and not understanding what they stand for or what their voting record is or who is their, you know, who owns them, you know, who donates to them, then you change nothing. We've gone through this cycle. What is it? 2014, we became a country in 1776, supposedly. Well, not a country, but we decided to rise up, and then we formed a country. And we've gone through this dynamics now for a long time. How's it working out? You know, you think about it. Coming out of World War II, because that's a very dynamic time in our history. England, before that, ruled the world and had the reserve, this, you know, the pound, the British sterling, was the world reserve currency. And then after the U.S. got involved in the war and built up our war machine and the rest of the world was decimated, including, you know, Russia right up to the gates of their cities, you know, it just basically wiped out the world, you know, the modern industrial world, the U.S. came out and said, hey, we're on top. We didn't have a war in our country. It was all on your land, and your shit's all blown up. So I think we'll take over, you know, number one position in the world, and we're going to do this Bretton Woods thing, and we're going to be the reserve currency in England. You can take a back seat and attach your lips to our hind end, and it's our turn. And then we went for a period of time, and we got kind of full of ourselves. We won the Cold War. But along the journey, we got ourselves involved in some conflicts, one of them being Vietnam, that almost broke our country. We were still on a gold standard before then. There was still an attachment to a value of gold that could be redeemed by governments. Now, it used to be you and I could walk in the door and lay down a U.S. Treasury note and say, I want silver, I want gold, and you could collect it. Well, that was changed by a president. Then only governments can do it, and that kind of limited that. Well, why would they do that? Well, because they were screwing up the money supply. And so we had the Vietnam War. Nixon comes along, and foreign countries are looking at the U.S. going, hell, they're falling apart, and these frickers can't get their act together in their own country economically, so we're going to start pulling our gold out of the U.S. And then Nixon gets up and says, well, I think we better put a stop to that because we are the supreme power in the world, so you're going to just not get your gold back. And he changed the rules. And it changed everything because now all of a sudden we no longer had a standard to hold politicians and, you know, and the economy people like the Fed to a standard. So that just meant, well, what the hell? We can just make money. And there's no standard to hold us back. Nothing to keep us from going insane. Nothing to keep us from becoming just this massive, corrupt, centralized, bureaucratical mess. And then after the Cold War ended, there was nothing to balance against our power in the world. Nobody to challenge us. So we spent ourselves into hell. And we've covered this, I don't know, 100 times. You know, we covered on the group 1,000, 5,000 times in comments and posts and articles. This is what we are living is all occurred, things that have occurred through both parties, through especially since the turn of the century, especially since the Fed and all that stuff, changed everything. And the world changed. We became modern. We became technologically advanced. We built an empire around the world. You know, we were dominant. And then we decided that we're going to push our will across the world, or spread democracy. Excuse me, I got that. Got confused there for a second. And so we're back, really, to 1971, the Vietnam era, times 1,000. We have spread ourselves thin. These last two wars destroyed us, destroyed our economy. The only reason the U.S. is even afloat and people are driving down the road thinking everything's good is because the Federal Reserve has printed $4.5 trillion, plus it printed like $13 trillion. And nobody ever really figured out where that went. We figured it went to Europe to, you know, equalize the inflation or the hyperinflation that's coming. So here we are. Everybody is caught up in the news of the day. And the insane people that live where you live or work where you live, I don't know if they live there. You know, they might transport in and out every day on their alien spacecraft. I don't know. But being funny, so
they crawl up from the sewers,
from the gates of hell. So here we are, poking Russia in the eye, poking the bear, and most people don't know this, but we got a trade war going on with China right now, and we're surrounding China with our military, especially our naval forces, because can't really get on their land, and we're poking the dragon in the nose, and people, in what I read. People think that it's something we're justified to do, and they have no clue what's going on. It all has to do with the U.S. dollar, the trade dollar, the reserve dollar, the petrodollar, whatever the hell you want to call it. That's the only thing keeping America afloat. And with this thing, which we've covered kind of in a surface, we haven't gone in depth, but we've covered it. I think we covered it pretty good, pretty big topic, is this whole BRICS thing and the movement away from the U.S. dollar. We invaded Iraq, not because he had weapons of mass destruction, but because Saddam was moving away from the U.S. petrodollar and starting to trade in euros. That's why we blew him up. And if you don't understand that, then you're watching the wrong media. And you need to do some research and learn some things. We invaded Libya, not because he had a public a popular uprising. That was a bunch of crap. Those were invaders, just like in Syria, because he was going to build a gold standard and print free money, which is really what a government should do, you know, is print money, move it into the market, and nobody make money on it, but let the market thrive. That was kind of how America was founded. And he was going to do this gold back, blah, 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 and so he had to go. Well, same thing in Syria, same thing in Iran. It has nothing to do with evil empires because some of our best allies are evil empires. So don't give me that crap. And I don't know why Americans don't get that after, I don't know, 20 years of the internet, why people can't understand how the world works. It works on oil, pipelines, gas, and U.S. reserve currency. That's it. That's our whole geopolitics in one package. If any of those things are violated or any of those things become a threat, then we blow countries up. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with human rights. There's shit going on all over the world that are, you know, just atrocities. And we're not in there bugging them. Must not have found oil yet. I don't know. You know, figure that one out for yourself. So we are at a pinnacle right now. And I really was hoping that 2014 that people would have woke up, but I guess they didn't. And we're putting the same warmongering, psychotic neocons right back into power that got us into the last two wars. They're not here to save you. They're here to save the empire. There are good people, and I would say in both parties, there are decent people who really care about the country. And then there's some really evil freaking people who have a lot of power, but in there a long time, who've forgotten what this country was about. And if you keep voting them back in, then they will keep doing what they've been doing. And America's going to continue to go on a decline until, like you said earlier, it may not happen fast. I could question that and say it might happen faster than people think it's going to happen. you know, it just depends on how many more wars these psychos can get us in bed. You know, I mean, can you imagine taking on Russia and China at the same time? I think that'd happen really quick. I think that'd be some serious crap. This ain't Iraq we're talking about. It's not Afghanistan and a bunch of goat herders. These are two superpowers with nukes. Let's go blame it on them and put all of our problems on their shoulders, blame them, and push for a war. That's really intelligent. You know, we need a Reagan moment. And I don't know if we're going to have it, Rex. I really don't. Because at least in Reagan's era, people rose up and said, enough of these crazy people who can't see the world for what it is, can't function inside the world, can't understand that the world's bigger than us and that we have to play in that world and we have to work with people who aren't like us, who have their own goals, and they also have bombs and weapons of their own, and we've got to work with these people. We can't control everything. We can't bomb, well, we could bomb everybody if we really wanted to destroy ourselves, but in theory, you know, you can't bomb everybody and you can't topple every freaking government. Pretty soon, people are going to get sick to death of this foreign policy. And you know what? It's called BRICS because people are sick to death of it. And so it's changing, and it's changing at an accelerated pace. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when the dollar is going to, you know, fall from grace around the world, but it's already declined over 20 points since the end of the 90s. And it's the only thing keeping this country alive. You can't run a $3.6 trillion budget, you know, and a trillion-dollar military-industrial complex and fund 1,100 bases around the world and have, I don't know, what do we got, 30, 40 military conflicts going on in the world that you never hear about in the media? You can't do that when you're broke. Only if you can print money, and then you can sell that debt, and you are the reserve currency of the world. Once you lose part or all of that, or pieces of each one of it, and you no longer have that ability to keep manipulating money, you know, I love how Romney used to say that China, you know, they're manipulating their currency. Oh, come on. Who's the master currency manipulator? What's the value of a dollar today versus 1914? Give me a break. You know, sometimes people say the stupidest things, but, God, they get elected, you know. Well, in his case, he didn't, but he got elected at least as governor. So this is what we're up against. The question is do people give a shit? Are they going to wake up? Are they going to educate themselves? And are they going to start demanding change? Because if we don't change our country, most of the world is moving away from the safety and trust of the United States. And I'm telling you, rapidly. And it's consolidating very quickly. Now, I don't know how the U.S. is going to hold on to it. I don't know how many wars they can fight against big countries, you know, or if they're going to crash the whole economic system of the world to try to, you know, break these countries. But I don't think they can. I think enough things are in place that even if right now, Europe, their stock market's going to shit because, you know, the U.S. forced Europe into doing these stupid sanctions against Russia when Russia's a huge embedded economic partner in Europe. And so it's backlashing, which is what Russia said way back on the first sanction, go, don't do it. You know, this ain't the Cold War days. This is modern world where everything is integrated. You do it, everybody's going to pay a price for it. And we will survive. And they will because they don't have our debt load. And their currency is stable. So, it's going to be a hell of a show, Rex. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll tell you what, man. I don't run around and live in fear. Hell with fear. Fear is stupid. That's why Americans are where we're at. We live in fear. 9/11 just produced a fearful society. When you have a fearful society, governments can do all kinds of crazy shit, like, TSA, NSA, Homeland Security, spy on citizens, NDAA, indefinite detention, FEMA camps, fusion centers so we can spy on everybody. I mean, come on. Rendition, you know. I mean, that's pretty quick. That was a decade and a half, baby. From freedom to tyranny in less than 15 years, and people are hiding in their houses, watching their sports, driving down the freeway thinking everything's fine because they're safe. With an open border with who knows what's coming across it, including diseases. There you go. Back to you, buddy.
Yep. That's exactly what is going on. But, yeah, don't live in fear. A couple of things. Chris mentioned the group, as always. The group he is talking about is on Facebook, Liberties Talk. Get in there. If you want an organized, at least as organized as Facebook can be, group that hits on the real topics from multiple angles, not just picking, you know, your favorite conservative Fox News channel or, you know, favorite, you know, rag or internet site that basically just spews neocon noise. It's got a lot of stuff. And the fact is that, look, everybody has an angle. There are very few real journalists and analysts out there left. But you can kind of triangulate if you got a couple of different sources with different angles and get to the bottom of the story. So we got Liberty's Talk. Get in there. And while you're there on Facebook, just go to Liberty's Thunder and like the page and interact with the page. And by the way, if you right-click on the Like Page button, it'll say Get Notifications. If you click on Get Notifications, you will always get notified when we are broadcasting. Facebook tries to hide you from us. And don't worry about getting millions of notifications. About the only thing we post is the show once a week. Every now and then we might have some other message or action item, but it's very rare. So you won't be, you know, your newsfeed won't be flooded. But just go ahead and right-click on the Like button and click Get Notifications. And remember, we normally broadcast 9 p.m. on Sunday evenings, Eastern. But you can listen to any of our shows at any time by going to blogtalkradio.com/LibertiesThunder. Scroll down the page. All the shows are there from way back before the RNC 2012 Tempest in Tampa convention. You can listen anytime. Just click on the title. It plays right in your browser free of charge after, I think, like a 30-minute commercial. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, you can right-click download, and you will get an MP3, which you can listen to in your MP3-enabled device, email somebody, burn a CD, take it to your Tea Party meeting, Campaign for Liberty meeting, Republican Party meeting, what have you. Because, as always, Chris and I bust our humps to do this. We don't get paid for it. We both got lives and other things to do, but this is important because we live here. So we do this show. And the only reason anybody out there at all knows that it exists is because you tell them. So when you see our pic on Facebook, please share it and post it in your favorite groups and on your favorite pages. If you see it on Twitter, please retweet it. And remember, nothing works better than a personal invitation. Just tell someone to come check it out. I don't expect you to agree with everything that we say. Heck, Trog and I don't always agree with everything we say. But the point is that we're looking at things from a different perspective and trying to get the message out that people who love the Constitution, who love liberty, who identify as conservatives, libertarianish conservatives, even libertarians, or anybody who's on the, quote, right side of the spectrum, need to stop fighting with each other about stupid quibbling crap and get along on the broad issues, because it's the 11th hour. America is about to disappear. Now, it's not going to disappear off the face of the planet. We're not going to stop existing. It's going to be here. But it's not going to be the America that we think we live in. It's already happened, actually. Question is, are you going to take it back towards the Constitutional Republic and forward into the future? See, taking it back doesn't mean reversing things to 1776, 1787, 1860, 1871, or whatever. It simply means going back to the principles upon which we were founded. We seceded from Great Britain. We established a set of principles by which these states and commonwealths unite together in common cause, and we have to bring that into the 21st century. Unfortunately, we've been asleep at the wheel. And what's been brought into the 21st century, as Chris pointed out, is not America as you think it is or America as you knew it. It is America in decline, becoming part of the North American economic bloc inside the global system of control. He mentioned BRICS. BRICS is pissed about the way that our bank, the Federal Reserve, the IMF, the World Bank, has been doing things, and they're rising up to challenge it. I don't think that they're going to be much different, but frankly, the center of gravity may shift from New York and London to Moscow and Beijing. I don't think that's a good thing. I think what we need to do is restore liberty, restore freedom. We're supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of how liberty works, of how freedom works, of how sound money works, of how private property works, of how moral and virtuous people can govern themselves. Instead, we're just going to be one among many regions that are under neo-feudal techno control. It's not going to be 1984. It's not going to be looking like Nazi Germany. We're being defeated not by the things that scare us, but by the things that please us. We have an overabundance of banal pleasures, and we've lost all sight of true principle. And fear abounds. They teach you to fear the other guy, whether it's the other party, the person with a different ideology, the guy with different colored skin, the different religion, coming from a different country, whatever. They teach you to fear because fear breeds control. And when you're afraid, you're on
the
road.
What the
like
fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
And yet, while we're running around afraid, the aliens are crawling under the grates. They're going to come into the little room. You're going to get popped. You walk around, and of course, if you're listening, not you, but the American public walks around like sanctimonious suckers. We're morally superior. We're Americans. We're the best. We have the best economy. We have the best military. We can tell you how to live your life. We can spread democracy around the globe. Bullshit. We're supposed to be the best. I still think that the American people, by and large, are the best. I still think the principles upon which we were founded and by which we're supposed to live are, in fact, the best that have ever been produced in all of human history. But do we know what those are? Do we pay attention, or do we drop them the minute it's inconvenient? We'll run around screaming about the Constitution and about Obama's czars and the spending and the Democrats and even maybe the rhino squishes. But as soon as they touch a nerve that means something to you, suddenly you will abandon all notion of constitutional principles and morality just to hire the government to get your way. No, I'm pro-Israel. I don't really care if you're pro-Israel or pro-Russia or pro-China or pro-anything else. It's not our country's job to be pro any other country. You can be pro whatever you want personally. But our country is about the common defense of these United States. And let me tell you something. The United Kingdom, Israel, and every other country is not part of these United States. So focus up. And by the same token, toppling governments overseas in Egypt, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan, I agree. We should have toppled the Taliban. They were housing Al-Qaeda. How did we know this? Because Bill Clinton had many opportunities to kill him and never took the shot. So that one was a good one. But guess what? Crimea and Ukraine, they don't belong to us. And frankly, they're not even in our hemisphere. They're in Putin's sphere. Now, should we make sure that Putin knows that we're boss and we won't tolerate somebody building a empire and crawling up to our interests? Yes. But Crimea and Ukraine, that's between him and Russia. Do you really want Putin telling us how to handle Mexico? Probably not. In fact, I'm not even sure you want us to handle Mexico, because the idiots that you've elected, the way they handle Mexico is they bend over to Mexico. You've got illegal aliens fleeing something, right? We're told it's a horrible situation. Yes, a shitty economy is what it is, and they built it, and they should stay there and fix it. We got our own shitty economy to fix. So we got people from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras pouring over our border. Pick up a map and look at it. None of those countries border the United States of America. They border Mexico. So if there's going to be, quote, a refugee problem, why don't the Mexicans and the Panamanians take care of it and the Costa Ricans? Why are they coming to the United States? Why are we flying them on our dime with whatever diseases they're carrying and everything else to places like, oh, I don't know, Alaska? Get your heads out of your asses. This is bullshit. This is not about children. Yeah, sure, there's children involved there. Guess what? Globalist pricks who have an agenda don't give a shit about your children or anybody's children but their own. They will use children for any purpose. Is Hamas using Palestinian children as human shields? Probably. Those guys are psychotic pricks, okay? Is Israel's weaponry indiscriminately hitting children as opposed to using all the $6 billion a year we give them to have more tactical strikes? Yes, they are. Are the globalists who want a North American Union using children to tug at your heartstrings at our border? Yes. However you feel about any of these political fucking things, you do not slaughter children. Oh, but guess what? This country kills over a million and a half kids a year through abortion, so I guess we don't care about kids either. But, you know, if we see them on TV, it tugs at our heartstrings. Yeah, well, you know what? Taking care of a child who happens to be used by coyotes, by governments, by media as a tool in order to spread the dissolution of our borders, yeah, you don't blame that child. You take care of that child. But just because you have a heart and want to take care of that child does not mean that we want to invite every child from South America here. Because if you're going to take care of every hungry child in a bad economy, in a horrible situation around the planet, we cannot handle it. Might we want to? Yes. Can we do it? No. Is it our government's responsibility? Hell no. You feel bad about those children? Pay for it yourself. Take care of them yourself. There's kids hungry and dying and can't even find clean water in Africa, in Asia. There's kids hungry and can't find clean water in Appalachia. Why don't you take care of them? You take care of your home first. You can't fix somebody if you're sick. So what is going on here? Well, I'll tell you what's going on here. The Democrats have gone absolutely crazy. All right? Nancy Pelosi is now giving up any kind of decorum in the House to run flying across the floor to interrupt a speaking congressman, wag her finger at him, because she's psychotic. That bitch is nuts. And that's who they've got. Oh, but our guys are much better, right? Little orange man, a new leadership team, right? Oh, because of this upset that Virginia caused with David Brat, we got a new leadership team. We got Johnny Boehner, crying little pussy. And we got, you know, the number three douchebag moved up to the number two slot, Kevin McCarthy, right? He's part of the Young Guns crew, right? And then what happened? Oh, they got Steve Scalise, Tea Party favorite Steve Scalise. These guys couldn't cobble together 217 votes in the House to fund Obama's amnesty program and destroy our border. Now, what were they planning? They were, we're going to fund it with $659 million. Obama wanted $3.7 million. So as conservatives, we just decided to do the same stupid thing that Obama's doing illegally, only we're going to spend much less on it. Is that what you want? You want a party that says it's in opposition to the other party, and the only thing it opposes is spending less on the same unconstitutional bullshit that Obama and the Democrats want? Because that's your Republican Party. And you've had primary after primary after primary to fix this. And other than Virginia's 7th and a couple of spots here and there, you've done dick. This Tuesday, we got Justin Amash fighting for his life in Michigan. And what's his opposition prick doing? By the way, Justin's ahead 20 points. But what's the opposition doing now? They're sending out little flyers to the Democrats and telling them, you can help get rid of Justin Amash from Congress. They learned from Mississippi. Your enemy has learned. And you are doing the same friggin' thing you've always been doing, posting bullshit about Obama or whining that nobody listens instead of growing our ranks, instead of getting people to get along. Instead of showing how conservatives and conventional Republicans and libertarian-ish Republicans and libertarians can all get along, because we agree on the broad principles, we can nitpick about the details later. But no, let's pick our favorite issue, and if Rand Paul mutters one word that we disagree with, let's slaughter the guy because he's betrayed us. That's what's going on out there. And what happened? What? That bill died. Because people actually melted the phone lines at the House. And those Tea Party groups that are so much maligned, and frankly, I don't like some of them, but they at least mobilized people to melt the phone lines. And Ted Cruz, who's in the Senate, last time he did this, they were all attacking him for the Obamacare defunding, right? Ted Cruz in the Senate met with the Republicans and actually whipped against Steve Scalise. You could have had Raul Labrador. But no, you let him give you Steve Scalise. And he whipped against the bill, and then they couldn't pass it on Thursday after they promised that they would, so they could go on a 5-week friggin' vacation to campaign. it died. And they had to stay an extra day. And the only reason that it was saved was because Raul Labrador and Ted Cruz got together and they proposed two bills. One, to deal with the current, quote, border crisis. And two, to limit what Obama did by executive order illegally, the DACA language, which means that he can't expand this amnesty program that he created illegally, sending a signal to South America that if you get here soon before Obama leaves, you can get all the free stuff from America and they won't send you back home. That's the problem. Now, that bill's passed, right? So the Republicans can go home and say, we did it. The media's still going to slaughter them anyway. Don't know why Republicans really give a shit about trying to please the media. It never works. And the Senate had left already on Thursday. So the bill's going nowhere. So we got 5 weeks now where everybody's at home campaigning, and the golfer-in-chief is likely to do something illegal. Oh, but they didn't appropriate the funds. As if the federal government isn't sitting on piles of worthless cash that they blow through and you don't even know what they're buying. Give me a break. That's what's happening. Sorry I went off there, Chris. I'll throw it back to you.
No, man, that was awesome. I was just kind of like reveling in the facts, you know, because that's the important part. You know, I had in this conversation I had this morning, I was getting kind of frustrated. It was the immigration issue. And, you know, people fall into this trap. And I don't know why they fall into the trap. I don't know if it's because all the groups are on. I don't know if because they haven't figured out that Fox Noise is just a propaganda machine, or most of the radio talking heads, you know, are the same thing. And so they listen to these people who spend all day every day, you know, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that. And you and I, even since we met way back when, and it is becoming years now, have always been about focus on the real problem. The real problem is the corruption in D.C. The real problem is you don't have an opposition party. And you know, this is that historical relevance again. In 2010, the Tea Party rose up, and they had a crushing win, and they won back the House, and they dropped the supermajority in the Senate, so the Senate couldn't just automatically shove stuff through. And they put a stop to, and they elected a lot of governors and houses and, you know, state houses and everything else, and that was all great. So we got some, in fact, Obama, if he has anything, which it, most of it's lies anyway, but if he has any economic gains and job increases or economic gains, it's occurring in those red states where they got control and they cut these programs out and balanced some things out and let the market work. And you could argue about varying degrees of whatever until you're blue in the face. In fact, that's America. But here's the challenge. They had the right idea, but the mistake was they thought, oh, goody, we will be accepted by the Republicans because we handed them this great win. That was the mistake. And then everybody went home and said, how pat me on the back, how great we are. And then the rhinos, the Rockefeller Republicans, the dim light, Democrat lights, whatever you want to call these backbenching, permanent backbenchers, you know, corrupt, been in there 20, 30, 40, 50 years, said, well, that ain't going to work. We can't have the people rise up and do that. We're the elite. We're in control, and we live on compromise and bending over and all those kind of wonderful things. And, you know, we're the new, as Santorum says, we're the new big government Republicans, you know, and they got pissed. And they were going to run Romney, who is basically a Democrat, if you ever look at his record in Massachusetts, you know, his turn, because he bowed out so McCain could get it and try to get us into more wars. And, of course, he lost, but whatever. So here we are. In 2012, the Tea Parties were co-opted. And they've been fighting back. I'll give them credit. But they're getting confused. And you can see throughout the nation, you can see by just by what people are focusing on, how they're getting confused. I know they want to win. I get that. It's a primary season. I get that. We got an election coming up in November. I get that. But they're presenting this illusion that just because you elect a bunch of Republicans and put them in the Senate, that something's going to change. And that's the mistake, because you have to determine for yourself, number one, what do I believe in? What do you believe in? I know what I believe in, and I know what I like, and I know what I don't like. But I'll tell you, I'll quote Matt Kibbe of FreedomWorks, had one of the most profound statements ever, and it's in the bottom of your opening on the show, you know, that if you're ever going to defeat the communists or the socialists or the Marxists or whatever fascist, whatever these people are in that other party, they got more mix than the Republican Party does. If you're ever going to defeat them and get this country back to sane governance and sane economics, you have to first defeat the rhinos and the neocons in the Republican Party. And Matt Kibbe said that a couple years ago now, right, 2-3 years ago. And I remember when I first heard, I was like, yes, I totally agree with that, because if you don't fix the opposition party and actually create an opposition party, then nothing changes. And I know people don't want to hear this, because, and they'll get in all kind, I'll get all kinds of response to this, and people say, well, yeah, but Bush cared about the country. And they start going off, you know, on the whole emotional content of GW. And I'm sure he's a great guy. But you know what? He let the neocons get this country into an endless war, and he allowed, he was president. So I'm not giving him any grace. The Patriot Act was passed. And then we found out, and a lot of people don't know this, but we had whistleblowers saying, hey, they're illegally spying on citizens. And then they went up and said, oh, whoops, like Obama. Oh, well, you know, we'll check that out and fix that. Well, they never fixed it. And Snowden revelation was proof of that. So we got Homeland Security, we got the TSA, we got the total federalized FEMA, which is, I'm not sure if it's a help organization or something else. But, you know, we've got this massive tyranny over our shoulders. That all came from the Bush era. But 9/11 happened, Chris. Oh, wake the hell up. You don't think we haven't been in wars before? You don't think, I mean, come on, look at World War II. They bombed Pearl Harbor. That was 9 million people in that war. That was devastating across the world. We've been through shit. We had the war against the South, excuse me. I almost said Civil War. War against the South. You got your Virginians. And that was even more devastating. That was 700,000 people. I mean, that was like proportionally to today. I mean, you know, because look at the size of the population. It was huge. We have survived a lot of stuff in this country without giving up our freedoms, without giving Congress and the president totalitarian power over our lives and everything we do, from the car you drive, the toilet you sit on, you know, to everything. To being spied on, to being lied to being taxed to death, to being regulated to death, you know, to our police being militarized, you know, over some threat, you know, that would be arguable how much of a threat it really is. There's a lot to think about. Hold on just a second.
Yep, there is a lot to think about. It gets our frog all choked up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, choked on my own spit. You know, that's why I'm a caveman. But there's a lot of things that you have to think about when you're looking at elections or primaries or 2016, because 2016 started in 2012. As soon as the Democrat-Republican lost, the next series of election was already set in motion. All the pundits and all the lobbyists and all the money machines, you know, are trying to figure out how, you know, RNC and all these new rules are trying to figure out how to limit the grassroots, the people who do the work, donate the money, get out the vote, you know, do the yard signs, knock on doors. The people who want to have a say in their government, which is kind of what America's about, kind of, used to be a lot more. And, you know, all these new rule changes so that they can get their guy. And I can tell you who their guy is, because if people don't get their heads out of their rear ends, he's going to get elected. He'll run right up the middle and get about 30% of the vote, just like Romney did. Conservatives will be at each other's throats. The population will be split, looking for a savior, just like 2012, and their guy will walk right up the middle, and bingo, bango, and then you'll go, well, how did that happen? Well, it happened because you're not paying attention, and like Rex is always saying, quit fighting amongst yourself about the stupid crap, the stuff that will not – there's two things, and I say this every time, two things that will make or break this country in the next 1, 2, 3 years, economics and foreign policy. All the rest of this stuff, all your pet issues – ain't going to mean crap if your economy goes into the tank or we end up in World War IV. And you have to get focused on the bigger, important issues if you're ever going to get your pet issues taken care of. It's just like the abortion issue. For 40 years, what's changed? Not a damn thing. We had a supermajority for 6 years under Bush. What changed? Nothing. Did the border get secured? No. 5 debt ceiling increases, crashed our economy, endless wars, and the debt. Remember how much they said Iraq war was going to cost us?
Oh, yeah, that'll be paid for, you know, out of the oil royalties. Yeah, this is going to be an easy one.
10 years later, we're limping away at about $1.5 trillion plus the interest on a war that we lost, basically. Total failure. Iraq is like jihad wonderland. Like Libya is jihad wonderland. You know?
Unless that was the plan all along.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I think it was. I think
probably
a few. 96.
Well, and that's
clean
where
break.
We're at.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's where we're at. And so if you care about 2016, you got to care about 2014. If you care about 2014, you better figure out what's important and what matters. And quit kidding yourself that voting for an R is going to solve your problem and start voting people into office that absolutely, truly, at least you believe based on their record and what they're saying, that they care about the things you care about. Because these people that people are voting back in, they don't care about what you believe. You know? I don't know what else to say. I mean, the primary was kind of like, are you kidding me? That's what your fear drove you to? Put Lindsey Graham back in power? Are you freaking kidding me? McConnell? Cornyn? Another warmonger?
I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Sorry.
Yeah, we still got a couple of primaries, though, Chris. So,
yeah,
you mentioned Bush and how people get all pissed off when you compare Bush and Obama. Look, I think Obama hates this country. I think that he just despises everything that America stands for. That's my opinion. Now, I don't know if, do I have facts to back that up? It's an opinion, okay? That's my opinion. I would argue most people on the right probably agree with that. And yet, you guys worked your asses off to make sure that Mitt Romney would lose to him in 2012. Good job. But I think Bush, at least on a personal level, cared. Now, his record,
I will agree with that.
His record is friggin' atrocious. Neocon wars, draconian police
debt ceiling
enactments, debt ceilings, all that stuff. His record is absolutely horrible, especially, let's face it. What started the whole Tea Party thing, the Liberty Movement side, the conventional, conservative side, whatever. What started the whole Tea Party thing?
Raise taxes and I'll say no, and they'll push and I'll say no.
That's the wrong Bush, my bet. I meant this one.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
Now, how do you even utter that? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. That's what he utters out of his mouth. And what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, the answer was apparently, first, Jihad Jane McCommod. Imagine the wars we'd be in now if that guy was at the helm. And then Willard Dipshit Romney. I mean, those are the solutions to a problematic Bush, that delivered Obama. And let's be clear about something. The Republicans and Bush gave you Obama. Obama was nobody. He's a douchebag, schmuck community organizer who barely was a senator in Chicago and wouldn't have even won if it wasn't for that board chick, 7 of 9, or her husband scandal to pull him out of the race, and then all of a sudden he rises like a meteor to the top job. I mean, give me a break. That only happened because of the absolute abandoning of any conservative principles on the Republican side, where people were like, you know what, this guy's saying, you know, hope he changes. Yes, we can. It sounds better than the crap we got now. Let's just go for it. And so what do they want to do for you next time? They want to give you another Bush.
I'm not that smart, I promise you. It just...
Yeah, Jeb, you're not that smart.
Because I can't figure out the politics. It's pretty crazy right now.
Yeah. You know, it's real crazy, Jeb. Can't figure out the politics. Friggin' douchebag. I swear, if they run another Bush, not only will they not make it, but if anybody loves this country, they will actively seek to destroy the Republican Party, which has already shot itself in the foot with what they did in Tampa, which are illegal rules. And if you don't know about the rules in Tampa, start looking it up. Start figuring it out, because what happened in Tampa cannot be forgiven. And I don't care if you don't like Ron Paul and if you don't like libertarianish Republicans. The simple fact is, if you have to cheat to win, you've abandoned any sense of moral high ground, principle, or appealing to your base as the not Democrats. You sanctimonious pricks. You had to cheat. And we've been going around and around with these friggin' rules, and now we got another meeting. I don't know where it is. I think it might be in Chi-Town. Okay, I don't remember now, but it's August 6th through 9th this week. The RNC is meeting again to figure out how else can we screw the grassroots, especially because of this dangerous guy. I mean, we thought we were done with the Pauls in Tampa. Now there's this Rand Paul character, and he is kicking ass. And by the way, if you agree with everything Rand Paul says, you're probably crazy, because that's impossible. But if you don't agree with most of what Rand Paul says, it's highly unlikely that you're remotely conservative. So get your heads out of your asses. Follow these RNC meetings. The RNC right now is run by consultants who want to make money to lose races. And if you don't fix these rules, it'll be damn near impossible for anybody other than Jebby or Chris Christie or whichever, Rick Perry, or even guess what? Mitt Romney. That's right. You heard it. Mitt Romney. They're going to try to run him again. In fact, they're giving you polls now, and I think we got one in the clip coming up where people are saying, if the election was held today, more people would vote for Romney than Obama. Really? I mean, you really think that somehow that makes things different? Romney's an idiot. And don't give me any of this, it could have been better. You don't know what he could have been. You don't know if he would have been better or worse. The point is that he's the same. He's the same. He would have put in the same policies, and the Republicans wouldn't even be pretending to oppose him, as at least they pretend to oppose, blah, blah. Anyway, Chris, we've already killed a little over an hour. And, folks, remember, at 11 p.m., if you're listening in your browser, you will be cut off. If you want to continue listening to the rest of the show, we'll try to get out of here shortly after that. You have to call in and listen on your handset only, 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. If you're listening on the Internet or in podcast, just keep rolling till the end, and we'll try to get you out of here in time. But you want to throw anything on top of that, or you want to go to some kind of
question? I was going to say something about and explain this. Our platform that we use does a two-hour window, and then at that end of that 2 hours, if you're online, it stops, but the show still goes on. Now, it's the stupidest thing in the world, but that's the platform we use right now. And so when you call in, we're not going to force you to get on the line, so don't freak out. All you got to do is call in, and then you just don't push the one, because the one says, I want to speak to the host, and you just listen. And I was going to say, because I tell my wife this all the time, I go, our best of the best is the last 15 minutes before we shut down, which is past the browser time. Because if you think we're crazy now, that's when we're at the end, and that's when we close out and do our closing talks and whatever. So I recommend you listen to that. And I think a lot of people just, the browser kicks off, think, show's over. No, it's not. And, we go over because we go over. I don't know what's wrong with us. We like to talk. Who knows? But I think you nailed it. And I think it's really important to never forget 2012. Because everything they're doing, I mean, Michael Steele was the head of the RNC, and he helped the Tea Party land
massive victories across the country and get, win back the House and, you know, Republican governorships and Republican majorities in states and blah, blah, blah. And you know what they did for him? They didn't give him a gold watch. They fired him. They fired him because he helped the grassroots, you, Mr. and Mrs. America, win. That's how evil these bastards are that run the Republican Party. Now, and I need to clarify something because I got people go, this is important to understand. Parties aren't evil. People are. Parties aren't corrupt. People are. Guns don't kill. People kill people with guns. And because we'll get in that argument on the group, you know, because of the third-party alternative parties and everything else that we have discussions about. And it's important to understand, I do not support the Republican Party. I am not a Republican Party person. I'm not a groupthink person by nature. I grew up in Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, okay? And this is before the Californians moved up here and turned us into socialist states. I'm a very independent type individual. But it's where most of the people who I agree with are going to be running. Now, I'm not saying all of them, because there's good people in even the alternative parties. There's even some independents. So that's all wonderful. But it's where the majority of people are at that I agree with, and it's where we have half a chance to keep from becoming a vassal state of the United Nations, because that's what the left wants. Now, on the other side, you have Republicans that actually believe in American sovereignty and smaller government and sound finances and more conservative libertarian. But then you have a group of Republicans that actually came from the Democrat Party all the way back to the communist influence, and that is they believe, the neocons and a lot of the rhinos believe, that we are the empire of the world and we need to dictate to everybody around the world how they're going to run their countries and their finances and their business of their country. So you have that empire group inside the Republican Party. I don't support them because they're wrong and it's evil. And it is not a monopolar world. It is a multipolar world. And you know what? Russia and China and Brazil and India and all these other countries have risen up while we destroyed our economy fighting these endless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and have continued to grow and rise up, and now they're rising stars in the world. Regardless of what you think about them, that's the facts. And the neocon part of the party, it freaks them the hell out. So you got people like McCain who run around on all the news networks telling us how evil the Russian Empire is. And I'm thinking, you got that a little confused. It's the U.S. Empire. We're the one with the empire. We're the one with 1,100 bases around the world. We're the one blowing up countries. So don't get confused there, John. I know you've been in Congress a long time, and after a while things get kind of murky when you compromise and spend all your time on the Democrats.
It's been murky for decades.
Yeah, side of the aisle. But, you know, and running around trying to get us in a war with nuclear powers. I mean, these people are nuts. I have nothing to do with them. I wouldn't vote for them. I didn't vote for them. I will not support them, and I won't support people who support them. But as it stands, if we're going to save our country right now, it's these other people that happen to be Republicans. And I hope to God someday we have a multi-party system in this country, and I hope they get the laws changed at the state level so ballot access is easy, because I like the alternative parties. And I've spent a lot of time around them, around the people in it, the leadership, done a lot of research, did a lot of radio shows, did a lot of interviews, and I'm all for them. And I really love, you know, stuff in their platform, and I'm like, go for it. But right now, we need to save our country. So I hope you got people are focused and get out the frickin' vote in November. Back to you.
Yep. Yep. And you don't have to wait till November. This Tuesday we've got four states, including Michigan, so help Justin Amash out. You don't have to wait until Tuesday. You can get busy before then. But you got Kansas, and there's a pretty close primary there, some shenanigans from the Republicans again. Missouri
And, hey, up your way, Washington. That's Washington State, where Trog is, not Washington District of Corruption, where I am. And then Thursday, August 7th, you got Tennessee. I believe that's where Carr is running. So, you know, you still have a couple of options left. You need to maximize every opportunity. Don't sit back on your ass and do nothing. So, you know, get busy. But the important thing, what Chris just said, okay, is I got no love for the Republican Party. Screw the Republican Party. It's just a shell. I could care less about it. I'm not into elephants. I don't particularly like, you know, most Republicans that are in that party now. But the fact is that there is a duopoly. It's one party with two wings. It's the welfare warfare neocon party with two wings. And the only wing that has anybody with any sense, like Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or Justin Amash or Mike Lee or Trey Gowdy, okay, is the right wing of the duopoly, and that's the Republican Party. Now, some people say, oh, it's never going to change. They're only going to give us a couple of guys, you know, as false hope, and then they're going to keep – well, okay, maybe. Okay, maybe. But you're not going to get a Libertarian or a Constitution Party, a Conservative Party, or anything else just by running the same game that these two monoliths that are connected at the hip are. You're not going to be on the media. You're not going to be the debates. You got no ballot access. They control the precincts. They control the districts. So it's just you're just mimicking the game. It's giving you a false hope that somehow you can get a third party elected. It's not going to happen, okay? It's just not going to happen. Anybody who despises the duopoly should be focusing on taking over the right wing while also working with everybody else. I mean, think about it. If you could unite people who are into the Libertarian Party with people who are into the Constitution Party, with people who are in the Conservative Party, with people who are into the Green Party, people in the Justice and Peace Party and blah, 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 or whatever, and work together to change the rules at the local and state level so that it is an open field for all parties and all candidates, even candidates without parties. I'm not talking about chaos where you have 5,000 people. You have to have some requirements. You have to keep some kind of semblance of order. But let's open up the local ballots and break the duopoly. Now, that's not going to happen in 2014. It's not going to happen in 2016. But you better be working on that. But just because you're working on that does not mean you can forget about the fact that there is a duopoly. That's the reality. That's where we are right now. Until we change that from the ground up, because it ain't going to change from the top down, you got to take over one of the wings. If for no reason other than slowing down the mess. Now, if you didn't have hardcore constitutionalists in the Republican Party, you would have never gotten as far as you have in slowing the system down. You wouldn't have got this immigration bill. Now, is it going anywhere? No. Harry Reid will kill it in the Senate. He's killed 356 other bills or something like that. And if he doesn't kill it, Obama's promised to veto it. But at least you've made the situation more difficult because he's going to have to do more illegal stuff. Now, sometimes the Republicans play just for political points, and sometimes they actually do something productive. It really depends. So you have to know who's doing what and why they're doing it and work with them to make it happen. That's where you have to be. Okay, we're running out of time. We've got some clips to play, so we'll roll right into this one. You know, we're talking about corruption. We're talking about scandals. You've got multiple scandals and no resolutions. Benghazi, IRS, the border, Fast and Furious, Solyndra. There's so many scandals with this administration that you would have been able to impeach any other president, okay? But it's not happening because the Republicans are squishes. But just because something is, in fact, a political posture and scores political points doesn't mean that there isn't a real issue or that the person running point on it isn't serious. So here, this is a 13-minute clip. We'll be back on the other side to talk about it. And then we got another clip to play in overtime, and then we'll bring it on home. But pay attention. There's some interesting things in here. Deception on your mind. Liar, liar. Never will you learn. Liar, liar. Fire will you burn.
Scandals at home are clearly taking their toll on President Obama's approval ratings. Most Americans now say they would vote for Mitt Romney over President Obama by 53% to 44%, according to a CNN poll. This comes after Gallup reported last week that the president's approval rating had fallen to 39%, with 54% saying they disapprove
to go off
of
on one of his favorite themes. Why some of the president's critics are motivated by racism.
There's a certain level of vehemence, it seems to me, that's directed at me, directed at the president. You know, people talk about taking their country back. There's a certain racial component to this for some people. I don't think this is the thing is a main driver, but for some, there's a racial animus.
The honest discussion of it would be that I never was opposed to the Civil Rights Act, and when your network does 24-hour news telling the truth, then maybe we can get somewhere with the discussion.
The Attorney General was not asked about a number of much more urgent issues, among them the administration's strained relationship with the truth in so many instances, where the investigation stands into the IRS's targeting of conservatives. It's been in the news a little bit. Why the Attorney General hasn't appointed a special counsel. Why former IRS official Lois Lerner has not been charged. Why he did appoint an Obama donor to lead the investigation. For that matter, why Democrats have repeatedly mischaracterized the Supreme Court decision in the Hobby Lobby case, which Mr. Holder lost. Or the administration's terrible track record at the U.S. Supreme Court having several unanimous decisions against it. 20 times they've been ruled against unanimously by this court. The Attorney General is not asked to make the administration's case for expanding executive authority and perhaps threatening our constitutional system, as Professor Jonathan Turley and others have alleged in congressional testimony, and we could go on. Joining me now, Judge Andrew Napolitano, who's our Fox News senior judicial analyst. I mean, really? There was not a question about the IRS?
The interview on ABC News about which you refer was so tepid. It was almost as if Eric Holder was running for office and this was his campaign manager questioning him. I mean, this is not a political crisis. This is a constitutional crisis, Megan. The American people have a right to know there is a chief law enforcement officer of the land, and he is A, enforcing the law impartially, and B, telling the truth about what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It appears that the Attorney General is doing neither. For him to suggest seriously and repeatedly in that ABC News interview, we'll just take one subject matter because it's the hottest there is right now, that the immigration laws of the United States of America are being enforced, mm-hmm. is laughable, reprehensible, contrary to the truth, and an insult to the American people. The reason we have this crisis on the southwestern border of the United States is A, because the President of the United States decided to stop enforcing immigration laws, B, the President of the United States gave a signal to people south of the border, come here and we won't deport you, and C, because his chief law enforcement officer lacks the intestinal fortitude and moral courage to say, Mr. President, you're violating your oath. Your job is to enforce the law and not to tweak and find ways around it.
Mm-hmm. And you look at sort of where they did go. I mean, Eric Holder is a very important figure in America right now, and getting an interview with him would be huge. And I've said many times, that's my number one interview I would like to do. Number one is Eric Holder, because there are so many important things to ask him about, so much of which was left on the table. And I ask you, Judge, whether our chief law enforcement officer chose the interviewer he did for that reason. A softball interview, with all due respect to that correspondent. He pressed him on a couple of issues. But these, I mean, the IRS, the dishonesty by the administration when it comes to Supreme Court rulings against Eric Holder's DOJ, that doesn't get mentioned?
I don't know if that interviewer is a lawyer or even a person with a special interest in or knowledge about the Attorney General's job.
He talked to him about how he feels about the Washington Redskins.
Correct. The interviewer did not probe the defects in the Department of Justice today. And again, Megan, this is beyond politics. This is the American people going to bed at night without knowing that the important federal laws are being enforced and with knowing that the person in charge of them is misleading them about what the Department of Justice is doing. Mm-hmm. There are FBI agents who are almost embarrassed to do their work for this Justice
Department. Let me ask you something, Judge. Let me ask you something. Because you were a judge. You sat in an actual courtroom. You know, you were a litigator as well. Most lawyers are not afraid to face the tough questions.
Correct.
You go up there, it's a gift to be asked the tough questions because that gives you the opportunity to actually explain
it is
why the questioner is wrong, and you can prove it to them.
It is also a gift and a special trust to be the Attorney General of the United States. Eric Holder is a smart person and a very good lawyer, but he is not taking his job seriously to enforce the federal laws. His ability to enforce federal law is independent of the wishes of the president, and it must be so. Otherwise, all federal law would be enforced politically. It's the reason the attorney general is independent. He's not taking that
supposed
job seriously.
It's supposed to be judged
in the House. Judge, where does this go from here?
Well, the House will file a complaint, and the president's lawyers will not answer it. They will file a motion before the judge to whom the complaint has been assigned, asking him or her to dismiss the complaint, and that motion will be granted, because the courts do not want to get in the business of telling the president how to do his job. Now, you may say, what about Nixon and Watergate? What about the president with the NLRB just a month or so ago? The court will order the president to surrender tapes if he doesn't comply with a lawfully issued subpoena, as it did with President Nixon. And the court will even invalidate nominations unlawfully made, as it did with President Obama with the NLRB, who he claimed didn't require a senatorial confirmation. But the court will take the position that in a dispute between the two political branches, the Congress, actually half the Congress, just the House and the president, no judge is going to tell the president how to do his job. We may disagree with the way he does the job, but he's the president. And besides, I think the court will say, there is a constitutional remedy for you, and that's called impeachment. That's called removal from office.
Which is something at least that the Republican leadership is swearing off.
Correct. The Republican leadership believes that it will suffer politically if it files articles of impeachment.
In other words, it helps Democrats raise money.
Correct.
Because it
Correct. But on this, I agree with both sides. I agree with the Republicans that the president is not doing his job. He's either incompetent or lawless. And there's a long litany of what he's doing inappropriately and even unlawfully. Immigration is just the tip of the iceberg. But I agree with the president that this lawsuit is a political stunt. I would say to Republicans in the House, many of whom are friends of mine, would you spend your own money on legal fees where you knew it was a losing cause? And they'd say no. And why are you spending taxpayer dollars on it? It's going to be dismissed.
Can you add things to something like this for a judge if we talk as after Labor Day, the president is considering, and it's just out there, limiting deportations, stopping millions of deportations, that Republicans are counting on him constantly doing this and upping the ante, thereby providing more ammunition for them to do.
I'll give you an example. A guy named Anwar al-Awlaki, an American, had his father file a lawsuit asking a judge to prevent the president from killing this American in Yemen, and the judge threw out the case. And a month later, a drone killed the son. The courts simply will not tell the president of the United States how to do his job. They will take the position it's a political issue. If the Congress...
But the courts know when you're overstepping your bounds, right?
Yes, but they are reluctant to tell him how to exercise his discretion, because that would be injecting the court into this political dispute.
Would you see a juror who referred to your client as an obscene body part?
I'm sorry.
Would you seat a juror in a trial who referred to your client as an obscene body part?
I really have trouble giving you an answer, except that sounds
well,
like...
Well, then you would starve to death as a lawyer if you can't answer that question, Professor. You would seriously consider seating a juror in a trial, a criminal trial where your client was accused of a crime. If that juror had referred to your client as an obscene body part, you would struggle with whether or not to strike that juror?
Well, it doesn't sound too good.
No, it's not. And I'll give you some free litigation advice. You'll want to use one of your strikes on that juror. How about if you were a prosecutor and one of the potential jurors referred to the police as terrorists who are going to bring the country down? Would you seat that juror in a criminal prosecution if you were the prosecutor?
I wish I saw the connection here, but that's...
I'll give you the connection. Lois Lerner just referred to conservatives as an obscene body part, and she said we were crazies and likened us to terrorists.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if
you are not recognized, the gentleman from Georgia is not recognized.
Well, would the gentleman yield?
No, sir, I will not. Let's go to the regulation, Professor. Conflict of interest for the department. People like standards. They like bright lines. So I thought it'd be interesting to go find out what the Attorney General's standard is for recusal. And you know when he recuses himself? I'll quote him. When there's the potential appearance of a conflict, he recused himself. from a criminal prosecution when there's the potential appearance of a conflict. Those are his words, not mine. So that's the standard for when there should be a conflict. I want us to analyze whether or not there could possibly be the potential appearance of a conflict. You have the President of the United States. When I ask a question, it'll be very clear, Professor. The President of the United States, in the most widely viewed television show in our country, said there's not a smidgen of corruption. You don't think that is the potential appearance of a conflict?
For the issue of a special counsel, which is what I'm here for, I think.
How about give me a yes or a no, and then you can explain your answer.
I think it's irrelevant what the president says to whether there's a conflict of interest.
What if a judge says, let's go give this guilty bastard a trial? Is that irrelevant? Would you want that judge? If he prejudged the outcome of a prosecution, said, let's go give this guilty guy a fair trial.
Given the independence of the public integrity section for the last 30 years, I don't think it matters what.
So you don't think it matters that the chief law enforcement officer for this country, before there is an investigation, while there are emails missing, before he's analyzed one scintilla of evidence, prejudges and says there's not a scintilla of corruption. You don't think that matters. You don't even think it creates the potential appearance of a conflict.
I absolutely reject that the standard here is the standard you're naming for recusal. If he recuses himself, it's still the same justice.
How about when the Department of Justice trades emails with Lois Lerner seeking to implement an idea from a Democrat senator? Do you know Senator Whitehouse?
My understanding is the idea was rejected after the meeting in question, that the idea was...
I'm simply saying, do you really want the Department of Justice and the IRS taking their prosecutorial advice from a Democrat senator? I thought the Department of Justice was blindfolded.
I'm glad they rejected the idea.
I'm sad that they even discussed it. I'm sad that they even discussed pursuing, because when the AG sits where Professor Rotunda is, all we hear about is how he doesn't have the resources to actually do his job. And now they're going to contemplate manufacturing false statement cases?
The standard
so
is not a
potential
appearance.
So you do not think there's
appearance.
Even the potential appearance of a conflict?
That's not the standard. You're talking about recusal, which is whether it's the AG or the deputy AG who deals with the matter. That's recusal.
All right, this just so the record's clear, you don't think there's even a potential appearance of a conflict. We're not even going to get into Ms. Bosserman. How about extraordinary circumstances? Do you think it is extraordinary when a government agency targets people based on their political ideology? Do you think that that is extraordinary?
I think it's an issue of what the Department of Justice, not the IRS. The IRS is much criticized, and I assume rightly so, but the Department of Justice...
Here comes the boom, ready or not. Here comes the boy for the slam. Here comes the boom, ready or not.
The fund, and you know, he wants to control this. So this is all very important stuff. Now, the Constitution was built for a reason. It was built to curb power because they understood how man can become corrupted very quickly in this kind of a power system. And so when they put the Constitution together, and Rex was on double mute, he said. But when they put the Constitution together and they laid the country out, they had a horizontal and a vertical power structure. And the idea behind that was that you separated the powers in Washington, D.C. So you had the judicial branch, presidential branch, and the House and the Senate. And they each had their own separate kind of equal. The Supreme Court was never supposed to have the power it has, but to separate that power, and then you went down to the states, right down to the sovereign citizen, and that concept was to diffuse that power and to minimize a known factor of the human race, and that is power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And my contention, and I think this is something that that Rex and I have talked about a lot, and that is that I don't care which side it's on. Both sides abuse that power. And there's a lot of what Obama is running with, or President Obama is running with, that was set up under the whole concept of what George Bush set up after 9/11 to consolidate a massive amount of power into the White House so they could execute this so-called war on terror and create this whole homeland security and just expand this massive of power out of the executive office. And for people who don't want to hear this or whatever, I'm going to tell you anyway, there were several laws that he signed. He said, I don't agree with this law, and I'm only going to deal with what parts of it I agree with. And that is absolutely wrong. The rule of law in the position of the president is to execute. He's the executive branch. He's like the head of the corporation. His job is to run the company. That's why all these departments or certain departments that are underneath the president's office, and to manage the country, not to launch wars, not to fund terrorists, not to fund dictators, to manipulate them against somebody else, not to be in everybody else's affairs. The goal is to manage the country and to secure our borders and make sure our economy is running on sound principles. That's really what it's about. And that's been abused for a long, long, long time by both parties. So here we are today, and we have this situation where we have a president that's just running wild. And all day long, every day, Fox News of talking heads on radio, and the Republicans are screaming and hollering and screaming and hollering, and oh, my God, and oh, gosh, and oh, my God, and oh, gosh. And I'm thinking, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what did you expect? This is one of the reasons, and Rand is one of the people that talks about this because he's not afraid to talk about both parties. He says, what if you change a law that gives a certain amount of power, an abusive amount of power to one group, and then the opposite people get in power, and now they have all that power? You're not going to be happy. That was a very telling statement in the world that we live in. And so, like I say, going into 2016, it's really important to understand that if Republicans win the House and Senate, and we get a Republican president like Bush, and all of a sudden they start running with all this power and doing all this crazy stuff, and the Democrats are 24/7 bitching and whining and moaning and having hearings and on the media 24/7, expect it. Because if the Republicans won't follow the rule of law, why in the hell should the Democrats do it? Both sides, both parties. Time to get back to basics. Rex, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Apologize for that. I was on double mute and nowhere near the ability to unmute the the console.
Were you hanging by your toes from your deck?
I was actually trying to look at the beautiful view of Washington, D.C. With everybody out of town, because when the politicians leave, it's actually a pretty city.
Does it smell better?
But yes, it smells a little bit better. It's still a swamp. But I think those are all valid points that you made there. And, look, we don't really particularly care for playing Fox News clips because I don't want to promote them, because people somehow think they're fair and balanced and conservatives eat that shit up and get stupider and stupider. But if you want to hear from conservatives on the national media, you're likely only going to find them on Fox News. But they will try to beat them up as much as possible when they have an opportunity, and they will lie. They have been caught lying. They've been caught playing riots in Greece and saying that this is what's happening in Moscow, or whatever the current meme that they're pushing for on behalf of the neocons, the Saudis, Ailes, and Murdoch. But what you heard, I think, was very important, because what Trey Gowdy's doing, and he's very, very good at it, and you should be supporting him. And check it out on C-SPAN. They always, sometimes not on the air, but at least on the Internet, you can find these hearings. And this is important, because even though it might be just political posturing for the Republicans, someone like Trey Gowdy is actually getting down to the nitty-gritty. And the really important thing with the IRS, and people right now on the left are defending it, like Chris said, because it happens to be their guys and they're going against the crazy right-wing teabagging extremist legislative arsonists. And the Republicans like that too because, you know, people like Karl Rove and Bernie Goldberg and Bill O'Reilly, they hate the Tea Party and the Liberty Movement even more. So they're happy to have that happen. But the IRS is nothing more than a destructive organization that is essentially the collection agency for the owners of the Federal Reserve. That's all that it is. We do not need an income tax in this country. We do not need a direct income tax. In fact, it is something specifically prohibited by the Constitution, and it is dubious whether the 16th Amendment even gave them the power to do that. But it's important that it be taken care of, because if it can be abused against Group A today, it can certainly be used against Groups B, C, and D tomorrow, and it should just not exist. That's the whole premise behind our government, is that no one can be trusted with power. So therefore, we limit it to very specific things that require national coordination. And beyond that, the government has nothing to do with it. We have other governments. States have more, latitude than the federal government does. So that's very important. And you heard the judge there explaining to you what's going on. Now, the posturing the Republicans are doing, this is how stupid that they are. You know, they're afraid to actually impeach Obama, predominantly because they need to protect the imperial presidency because they're hoping to take it in 2016. Okay, so they won't impeach him, and they also don't want to be painted as crazies with the coming election. Well, guess what? It's happening anyway. That's the problem with Republicans. They're so stupid. They think that if they don't do something that they probably should do, that they won't be blamed for it. They're going to get blamed for it anyway. The Democrats already blamed them for even discussing impeachment. And the fact is that why are you suing the president? What kind of stupid move is that? That's like your two siblings having a fight, and instead of going at it each other and seeing, you know, who's got the power and who can win, they go running to a third party and be like, hey, he's picking on me. I mean, don't go to the courts. Courts have a specific function. It is not that. If you think that the president is lawless, and there's ample evidence that he is, impeach the son of a bitch. You impeach Clinton over a blowjob. I mean, he wasn't convicted, and, you know, people don't seem to care about it. You were going to impeach Nixon. He resigned. So, you know, why don't you impeach this guy? If not, then let it go. Don't fake this lawsuit, spend so much money on it in order to, you know, appease the red meat for your base. That's just cowardly. That's pathetic, and that's exactly how the rhinos operate. The consultants tell them X, and they go run with it, and it gets poll tested, and Frank Luntz, tells them which buzzwords to use, and that's how they manipulate you, and I think it's crap. I think it's weak. But Gowdy's pretty killer, right, Chris?
I love the Gowdy. Hope he stays pure. That's all I can say about him. He's just a pit bull. You know what I mean? And I guess the Republican leadership likes him because he's causing a stir, but his fundamental, you know, core conservative values will come under attack if he threatens the leadership. I guarantee you that. You know, you know what I mean? I hate to be, which one am I, gloom or doom?
I think you're gloom. I'm doom.
Okay. Well, I'm the one that says war is coming. I should be gloom, doom. Anyway.
Okay,
but,
you can be doom. I'll be gloom.
Okay, that's my only. Oh, I got echo. But
all right, no problem.
That's my only frustration with it. You know, is that that he's just being used, and I hate to be so pessimistic, but but the facts are pretty damn clear. I mean, what's his name? Boehner.
Which one?
When he was challenged by, you know, some of the, you know, Tea Party favorites, he kicked them off of committees. You know, there's a lot of power struggles goes on in the House and Senate. And, well, Reid's got Senate pretty locked down, and then he's got McConnell and McCain to help him, so that's pretty locked down. But, you know, you got three guys over there kicking butt and taking names, but it's almost futile effort because Reid won't let anything pass. But in the House, it's a much bigger body, and there's a lot more going on, a lot more plays, a lot more dynamics, a lot more, you know, infighting and deals made. And I know there's some good guys in there fighting hard, because we'd have amnesty right now if it wasn't for those people. And my hat's off to them. And I really hope that we get them back in office and that we fill the ranks with people who give a shit about this country, because most of them, and you live there, you know, most of them don't give a crap about this country. They have, you know, some world vision, and all the businesses have gone overseas, and the money's gone overseas, and our gold's probably gone. And it's grown like, you know, when China has a bad year, it's 7.5% growth, you know, and we're tracking at zero. And we track at zero and tell everybody our economy is improving. You know, it's just insanity right now, and there's nothing going to stop it. What we have to do is rebuild our country, you know, threatening the world, threatening Putin, and doing a 24-hour line smear campaign on who he is and what Russia is, and then threatening China and all these trade war stuff that's going on behind the scenes, because China got up and said, I ain't buying no more of your debt, because that's the only way we can buy crap from China. You know, so you people have cheap crap at Walmart. We don't have any money, so what we do is we sell China our debt, and then they sell us their shit. That's really our economy. That's how pitiful it is. You know, we're trade imbalance to the tunes of trillions, and yeah, we have a trade imbalance to the rest of the world in tunes of trillions of dollars, and that forces people to have to buy our bad debt. Well, that's changed. And so now, you know, we got to turn on China, who has been our ally, our trade, you know, biggest trade, two trade partners in the world. And now all of a sudden everything's bad with China, and you're going to see it ramp up. So it's, we got some tough times coming down the road, and I really hope the people who care about this country kick Boehner out.
Yeah.
You know, and put in a new speaker. Oh, God help us.
Well, we've had opportunities. We've had it up, and we've blown them. But yeah, we need to do that, because, you know, the thing is that, yeah, you're right, it's going to get bad. It could happen tomorrow. It's likely to be pushed at least, and they're going to try to push it at least until after the election, because they want their, you know, Hillary or their Warren to get in there, so they're not going to crash it first. But it could happen, and this is the last moment, the 11th hour, that we can do something about it and start working on a soft crash landing. You're not avoiding a crash. The question is it going to be hard, and is it going to wipe us out? Is it going to take us decades to recover, or is it going to be a soft crash landing from which we can rise up relatively quickly? That's what this is about. This is not about simply the next election or getting your favorite guy in there. It is about mending the fundamental problems that have been endemic for a long, long time, and most people on the right and the left don't even understand what they are. That's really what we're focused on here. And the Republicans just happen to be the shell that we can use to make that happen for now. But it doesn't work unless you scare the crap out of them. Anytime conservative things have happened in recent history, and I'm talking about decades, but in recent history, is when the grassroots rises up in one voice and the politicians panic. But then they find a way to appropriate and divide, and you have to stay on point. That's what the focus is. And you got to get off this one-stage thinking. All right, stop thinking just, you know, what you see. You got to go a couple of steps deeper and get off the whole binary thinking, too. You don't go from, you know, if I say that X is good, that doesn't mean that Y is bad. Both X and Y can be good, or both X and Y can be bad. So, for example, if Putin is making some smart decisions for Russia and acting like an adult on the world stage and protecting the Christian populations of the Middle East, and you happen to agree with him on those points, that doesn't mean that you hate America. If you criticize our government, it doesn't, well, it sounds like a liberal who just hates America. No, criticizing your government is a very American thing to do. It's your job. It's your duty. We are supposed to criticize our government. That's the whole reason we have the system that we have. Where people don't criticize their government is where there is no liberty whatsoever. You think that the Chinese criticize their government? Do you really think so? You know, the Chinese are, quote, our ally, our friend, our trading partner. Give me a break. They're communists, and they're still communists, who have decided that capitalism works better on the global stage, but they're still communists. You know, they're mm-hmm. tearing churches apart in China. They're worried about the rising Christian population. There's almost as many Christians in China now as there are Communist Party members. And they don't like that because Christianity and communism cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. Christianity was wiped out from Russia. It's back. And they're wiping it out here. And most of us are quiet about it. So you got to really get off this whole, you know, either this or that. You know, sometimes both things can be bad. Sometimes two things can be good. You got to have a little more discernment. We've got about 5 minutes left of live air, 11 p.m. Eastern. You will be cut off in your browser. If you want to continue to listen live, you have to call in, 646-649-1013, 646-649 or 1013. If you're listening on the Internet or on podcast, just keep on rolling. We're going to try to get out of here pretty soon, so I think we got one more clip for you. About 8 minutes, and we'll be back probably 10 minutes of closing on the other side. But this is important because we've addressed the scandals. We've addressed the sanctimonious suckers. Don't think you're morally superior simply because you have an ideology, okay? And you're not morally superior, by the way, because of your religion either. In fact, especially if you're a Christian, most Americans still identify as Christians, you're not morally superior because you're a Christian. The only difference between a Christian and anybody else is that you're acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner, and other people might just be embracing their sin. You're not morally superior. None of us are. Okay? But there are moral positions. You don't kill innocent women and children intentionally. Now, does it happen sometimes in wars and things like that? Unfortunately, it sucks. But when it happens, you always lament it. Just like Chris said, you never cheer it. I don't care who they are. You don't cheer it. All right, that's disgusting. That's how you become a heartless prick who will be a happy tool for the neocon and imperialist wars. And you got a lawless president, right, being protected by a sycophantic Congress. That's what you have to change. And the way you make that change happen is you get people to be aware of these things. If I criticize Republicans, it doesn't mean I hate conservatives. I am a conservative. I criticize Republicans because they're not conservative. And if I criticize libertarians, it doesn't mean that I hate libertarians. It means that I think that they're wrong on some things. But there are a lot of things upon which we agree. We have to work together on those broad issues. There are some things, by the way, we agree with people on the left. I mean, Rand Paul is working with Cory Booker, who's, you know, not only on the left, but he's kind of a dipshit. Okay, but the point is that there's an issue there that actually applies to his constituency, and Rand Paul's working with him on it. That's a good thing, because we have to get beyond this, you know, label, party, brand name, ideology crap, and start looking at what's actually right and what's wrong, what actually works and what doesn't, what is lawful and what is constitutional and what isn't. That's where we are. So, Chris, you want to throw anything on there in the next minute, or do you want to go into this clip? Because war is always the end game for a failing paper money scheme.
I just typed that on a comment when I posted an article. As we're increasing our nuke strike and the Guam. I'm tracking this stuff pretty tight, you know, for the geopolitics and foreign policy is my big thing. And it's getting pretty tense out there in the world, and I bet you the average American isn't even paying attention to it. They're just doing the blame Putin game. Rah, 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 it's Russia's fault. Yep, that'll get a lot of things solved. Play the clip. I think this is an important topic, very important topic, because it's real, and tensions are rising, and your mainstream media, controlled media in America, is not covering it. But if you go to around the world, where I get most of my reading nowadays, because it's the only place you can get, you know, the truth of what's going on around the world, it's getting hot out there, baby. Play the clip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Here we go. And remember, this is it's about 8.5 minutes. We'll be off the air in 2 minutes if you're listening in your browser. So on the other side of this, if you want to listen live, the only way you can hear it is if you call in on your handset and listen. Not on your browser and your phone, on your actual phone, on your handset. 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. 888-649-1013. If you're listening on the internet or in podcast, just keep on rolling. And remember that any of our shows, including our overtime, which we're going into now, is always available for your listening pleasure. And so you can share it with people on our Blog Talk Radio page. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/Liberty's Thunder, and they're all there. And while you're on the internet, just stop by Liberty's Thunder on Facebook and like our page. Right-click under the like and hit send me notifications, and join Chris's group, Liberty's Talk on Facebook. Pay attention. This is important stuff.
Mr. President.
The Senator from Kentucky.
Reserving the right to object, I'm amazed that the majority party objects to an amendment that simply restates the Constitution. Our founding fathers were quite concerned about giving the power to declare war to the executive. They were quite concerned that the executive could become like a king. Many in this body cannot get boots on the ground fast enough in a variety of places, from Syria to Libya to Iran. But we don't just send boots to war, we send our young Americans to war. Our young men and women, our soldiers, deserve thoughtful debate. Before sending our young men and women into combat, we should have a mature and thoughtful debate over the ramifications of war, over the advisability of war, and over the objectives of the war. James Madison wrote that the Constitution supposes what history demonstrates, that the executive is the branch most interested in war and most prone to it. The Constitution, therefore, with studied care, vested that power in the legislature. My amendment is one sentence long. It states that nothing in this act is to be construed as a declaration of war or as an authorization of the use of military force in Iran or Syria. I urge that we not begin a new war without a full debate, without a vote, without careful consideration of the ramifications of a third or even a fourth war in this past decade. I therefore respectively object.
The objection is heard.
The argument that we used, that we could use against the United States, that they sent in weapons into Syria and all of a sudden ISIS had the weapons, so it doesn't hold water. And my other argument, has, which it held up pretty well, is, you know, the mainstream media did come down on me, my statement, but the rest of the media, they were pretty well in tune with what I was saying, because it makes no sense for Putin to do it. You know, he's a tough cookie. You know, he's a KGB guy.
Well, but he's no sense.
Dumb,
sorry to interrupt.
But he's not a dumb guy.
It makes no sense for anybody to do it, doesn't it? I mean, there's no one that's going to gain from this.
You're absolutely, well, yeah, no, if it's a false flag, there is, but that's a theoretical argument, too. If Russia's blamed, Europeans, United States, and the Western Ukrainians benefit from that because Russia's the bad guy, and that's what happened for the first 24 hours. But now what has happened? Now that they've looked into the information, our intelligence agency has said Russia had nothing to do with it other than the fact that they had sent weapons in there, and that might have aggravated things. My argument is, well, we send weapons every place. We sent them into Syria, and those weapons ended up in the hands of ISIS that came into Iraq and started attacking our friends and even Americans, too. So that holds no water whatsoever. Well, laying off the strong rhetoric and quit blaming people when they don't know what's going on, and then the next day they have to retract and say, well, we really aren't blaming the Russians. I think what we should be doing is continuing to do what we've done since the Cold War ended, and that is increase trade. Right now, all this is bluster, both from the East and the West, the Russians and the United States. Obama has to be tough. Putin has to be tough for the people to show that they're not weak leaders. But the truth is there are hundreds of billions of dollars of trade going back and forth. The Europeans really don't want tough sanctions. The Russians don't want it. There's a lot of rich people in Russia now. We want more trade because I'm just hoping they don't disprove the theory that's been around since the founders that if you trade with people, you're less likely to fight with them. But right now, there's some determination that's going to get out of control where we're going to antagonize, and these sanctions are going to backfire on us. There's always blowback from sanctions as well, and here there's talk about abandoning the dollar. The Europeans, the Germans right now are suffering more than the Russians with these sanctions. Their stocks and all are in worse shape than Russia.
To that charge, and also if you're blaming America, even indirectly, even saying it has some responsibility here, isn't that kind of like blaming gun manufacturers for gun death? Isn't it basically the same argument? I don't think that's one that you buy into.
Well, no, and I think your question is carrying on the assumption, which is a fallacy and a misrepresentation of what I say. I don't blame America. I'm America. You're America. I don't blame you. I blame bad policy. I blame the interventionists. I blame the neoconservatives who preach this stuff, who believe in it like a religion, that they have to promote American goodness, even if you have to bomb and kill people. So you blame policy. That is altogether different. So you opt out and say, oh, Ron Paul blames America, so therefore he's a bad guy and we can't listen to him. Well, I'll tell you what, the American people are listening more carefully now than ever before because they don't even want to take this fight up with Russia. There's more people now. They certainly didn't want to take the fight up with Syria. So non-intervention is the wave of the future. It happened to have been the way we started off. The founders taught it. And that is what we need. We need more trade, and we need a little bit of conversation instead of, after an incident like this, to pile on and say, well, it was Putin, it was the Russians, and who knows? Putin had the weapons, the rebels had the weapons, the Western Ukrainians had the weapons. Nobody really knows yet, even though our intelligence agencies now said that they do not believe that Putin had anything to do with this, other than he aggravated the situation because he said he allowed some of the weapons to go in, which we do endlessly, and if that is the case, then all those weapons that we have introduced to the country
had no contemporary involvement, did nothing right now.
That's impossible, Chris, because we all know that the separatists are Russians and the Russians are separatists. We know they intercepted communications. We know that it takes training in order to operate this particular system. And we know that it was Russia that has caused this whole turmoil in eastern Ukraine to start with. So did a Russian KGB or GRU actually push the button? I think that's really nice to know. But the fact is that this is the work of Vladimir Putin, who caused the unrest in eastern Ukraine, who annexed Crimea, who is the cause of all this. And whether it was actually a Russian or not, frankly, is not too vital in our deciding that Vladimir Putin is a KGB colonel that is an international pariah, in my view, and should be treated as such. The point here is that Vladimir Putin is literally getting away with murder, and I mean literally, and we are doing very little in response. I think the investigation has to continue. We have to do everything we can to take care of the loved ones and the terrible tragedy that's taken place. But for us not to point the finger of blame exactly where it belongs, there's ample, overwhelming evidence, and not only because of this particular act, but because of Vladimir Putin's continued aggression and fomenting of aggression in Ukraine. And the next thing we ought to do, too, by the way, give weapons to the Ukrainians so they can defend themselves. You know, people are stunned when I tell them we have refused to give Ukrainians weapons to defend themselves while their country is being dismembered and invaded.
Just like witches at Black Master.
Yeah!
That was Jihad Jane Muhammad Rhino, Arizona, beating the drums for war against Russia. Apparently, this dipshit still thinks that we are in a Cold War with the Soviet Union, which Ronald Reagan dismantled over 20 years ago. But, you know, I don't think Jihad Jane Muhammad's ever met a war she doesn't like. She gets all hot and bothered even when Lindsey Graham, you know, tries to grab a little once over whenever there's a chance to bomb people.
it's sick. And you heard before that Dr. Ron Paul. Now, look, some people love Ron Paul. Some people can't stand Ron Paul. I really don't care if you like Ron Paul or don't like Ron Paul. Listen to Ron Paul. He's been saying this stuff for 40 friggin' years. He's been dismissed, marginalized, called a kook, and guess what? Every day you turn around, he's more and more and more right. That's the conservative position. Don't buy this crap that the current standard Republican meme is in any way, shape, or form conservative. And don't buy the crap that a non-interventionist foreign policy is retreating to Fortress America or packing up our ships and going home or surrendering to the evil guys. All right. First of all, you're not going to be able to withdraw from the world overnight. Unless you collapse, which we're well on our way to doing, you're going to have to pare back. And the other thing is that if we're going to trade with the world, we're going to have a military presence because there are going to be bad guys who want to steal your stuff all the time. That's not going to stop. But we do not need to go around sowing false flags or taking advantage of accidents or intentional problems that really don't involve Americans in order to, you know, beat the drums against war for everybody else. The whole thing is just disgusting. It's all about money. It's all about power. It has nothing to do with any kind of moral standing because, let's face it, these people have none. They don't care about life. They don't care about innocence. They don't care about protecting America. They think that the best defense is a good offense. Well, guess what? If you're offensive enough to enough people, they will unite against you. And I don't care how strong we are. You got to keep in mind a couple of things. We're a nation of 320, 330 million people, right? The Chinese are 1.3 billion. Their army is 300 million men. They have nukes. So do the Russians. So do the Israelis. So do the Pakistanis. All right, we're all worried about Iran getting a nuclear weapon, and I don't think Iran should have a nuclear weapon. I don't think those guys are stable. But the simple fact is everybody else has a friggin' nuclear weapon, and we can't fight them all. So it's best not to antagonize people. If you're trading with them, if you're working with them, then things tend to be a little different. Sure, there'll be conflicts. That's why you keep your military up to speed. But you don't have to go poking everybody and starting fights with everybody and funding your own enemies and setting up fake enemies. I mean, the whole thing, Hamas and ISIS and Al-Qaeda, these are U.S., Western bank, Israeli fabricated terrorist entities that they use to scare you. Now, are they genuinely scary now? Yes. Do they need to be destroyed? Yes. But guess what? While we're talking about destroying them, you are paying to finance, train, fund, and arm them. We just sent $11 billion worth of arms to Qatar. Look at a map. Can you even find Qatar on a map? It's smaller than Rhode Island. It's a little sandpit with a minor beach on the Arabian Peninsula. We sent them $11 billion of weapons. They probably can't even store $11 billion of weapons. Where do you think those things are going? Right? You got to think, people. Think. And then you look at what happened. In 2 days, your exalted stock market, and I know some of you maybe don't own stocks, but half of America does, and most of you probably have it in your 401k or your IRA or your retirement plan. You know, all the 2014 gains were wiped out. Why? There were no gains. It was all injected by Janet friggin' Yellen. They got all wiped out. Gold is being suppressed, but once the market forces take off, boy, you just watch that market dive, you watch your goods become scarce, and you watch the price of gold go through the roof. It's QE infinity. The only option the Fed has, right, is to keep easing and easing and easing, and at some point the whole thing's going to collapse, and the only thing that ever ends when the fiat scheme collapses is war, and it'll probably be here as much as it is over there. And now you've got the rise of BRICS. Hopefully that'll be a kick in the pants to the rest of the West to end this scheme. To you, Chris, and then we'll go to wrap up.
Wow, you are gloomy.
Oh. You throw some doom on top of that gloom.
Oh, I'm gearing up, man. McCain just fires me up. Lie after lie after lie. My comment I made on the group was I could post hundreds of pictures of women and children and innocent civilians in eastern Ukraine that have been bombed and blown up by indiscriminate, wild, uncontrollable bombing by the Nazis that we fund. And when I listen to these frickin' people And get on their Sunday shows to run around and stir up the population to try to create an enemy for the U.S. to go get because we won't fix anything at home, I just pisses me off. You know, it's just lies, every bit of it. You know, same thing in Syria. I mean, what 110,000 people, millions displaced because Assad has to go, and the only way we could do it was to fund al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, and McCain had to go over there and get him a special photo op with a couple terrorists, and then he goes to the Ukraine after the U.S. spent $5 billion to topple that freaking country, and he gets a photo with a Nazi leader. Are you freaking kidding me? And this is the guy that runs around on the Sunday shows and it supposedly has credibility because he was in Vietnam. God, Americans need to get a clue. These people are going to lead us right off the cliff of hell. The only place in the world that people know crap about what's going on in terms of, I got to be careful how I say this, in terms of what's going on in the rest of the world and who the players are and what kind of shenanigans are going on, the only place in the world where people don't have a damn clue is right here. Because you can, I mean, I've said this before, but I have over 60 sources that I use to scour the world for information, and you never get any of that stuff in U.S. media. It's totally controlled. It's controlled for one thing, the welfare, warfare, and don't forget, the economy's up, Rex. Bull crap. It is conjecture. It's lies. It's control. You think you live in a free country, you're crazy. You know, they have learned how to manipulate the media and the political talking points to a point where people just work their butts off for nothing while the economy continues to drain down the toilet bowl as the Fed continues to inject fake money printed out of thin air or stroke of a key, you know, of a keyboard, you know, from a bank that isn't even constitutional, that a bunch of crooks back in 1914 passed on a Christmas Eve when not enough people were there to stop it, to create this privately controlled banking system to control America. And they've taken it to hell in 100 years. And these politicians are all bought and sold, every frickin' one of them. You know, they're either on one side of the aisle and this group of corporations and this group of, you know, social people, whether it be unions or whatever, you know, this group of, you know, whatever. You know, it's that group, or you come over on the other side, it's the same corporations and the war industry and the empire industry that controls that group. And all you got, it doesn't matter who's in power. You know, Clinton destroyed a country and it ended up being 8 different countries. And then they talk about, you know, maintaining borders. And I'm thinking, well, who in the hell are you to talk? See, that's the problem, Rex. In this country, these frickin' worthless pieces of crap talking heads, we don't have reporters anymore. We used to actually have conversations and people would actually ask the tough questions. Now it's just basically what it is. It's just a propaganda machine. And anytime, you know, this group or that group, whether it's Republicans like McCain who want to, you know, take us to war with Russia and China next, I mean, you know, these insane people like that, or you go to the other side and they want to, you know, legalize 11 million illegal aliens and make them all legal and put them on welfare and sign them up as Democrats, whatever. They just go on to their stations. And those people just give them a platform to spin their bullshit. Nobody ever asks the tough questions. The only people who ask the tough questions, and it's sad, and I don't know how long it's going to take for so-called conservative voters to figure this out, is Fox. Because what happens is they'll get a conservative on there, and then he leaves or she leaves, and then their panel of neoliberal, you know, talking heads will come on and rip them apart when they're not there to defend themselves, you know, and it's sad. You know, I hats off to Rand for going on, you know, MSLSD, and they started pressing him on some bullcrap lie, and he said, you know, when your station starts, you know, promoting the truth, then we can have a discussion on this topic. I mean, I just thought that was great. I, for one, he had the gonads to go on that station. But, you know, here's what we have. It's just this game. It's like a sports game. And it's like every day you go into your newsfeed or you go to the television, you know, the cable news, or you go to the talking heads on radio, and it's like a sporting event. It's like, oh, yeah, they did this. Oh, they had that foul, and the ref didn't call it. And, oh, yeah, we really kicked their butt. And, oh, yeah, we injured their player. You know, he's off the field. And it's like a sporting game. And nobody ever gets deeper than that in this country. You know, the only place you find that is alternative media, the Internet, and overseas. Because overseas are the people who are living out the empire's foreign and economic policy, because foreign policy is economics, energy, and bonds. That's really our foreign policy. It'd be really great if it was trade, because, you know, if we did what China's doing, I call him Z, the Energizer Bunny, you know, the president of China who's never in China. All he does, every 3 days, he's in another country cutting a new trade deal. We send our president overseas and with this terrible TTIP trade deal that was concocted in you know, under the radar. Nobody even knew anything about it until WikiLeaks exposed some of it. And it's the most devastating thing for any sovereign country around the world, and that's what Obama runs around trying to get everybody to sign that. They won't sign it. A couple countries, you know, like UK, because they've had their lips planted on the rear end of the U.S. ever since we took away their leading role in the world, and they're happy. They're like Republicans. They're happy being the backbenchers, you know, in the empire, and that's whatever. There's something wrong with them. But other countries, you know, and even Japan's going, sorry, because the damn deal gives up the sovereignty of your country to U.S. corporations. I mean, it's the most insane thing you've ever heard in your life. And you can say all you want about China in terms of, yeah, they're a communist country and they got all their problems and blah, 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 blah. But their trade deals don't tell you you got to change your laws. Their trade deals don't tell you you got to open your borders. Their trade deals don't tell you you got to have gay marriage if you're going to get our loans. Their trade deals don't tell you that you have to take GMO foods. You know, they just come in and say, hey, you guys are a struggling country. We need this. You have that. We'll lend you this money to help with your infrastructure. And here's the trade deal. And it's about money. It's not about politics, at least for now. You know, if they become the emperor of the world, who knows what they'll go to. But, you know, it's trade, you know. And it's a shame that a communist country is kicking supposedly the free capitalist country's ass all over the world. It's a shame. And what do the neocons do? They got all mad and angry and got to, like, start a trade war and get all pissed off and push their military up to their shores and make some false bullshit about some rock islands that Japan and China, you know, Vietnam and Japan and China have struggled over for years. And, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? That's it? That's what we call trade? We founded this country on trade. You know, we were a productive country, and we traded all over the world. You know, now it's like the first thing we do is reach for the frickin' weapon or reach for the economic sanction. These and a lot of people don't understand this, Rex, but these sanctions with Russia aren't going to hurt Russia. They'll hurt Russia a little bit. But Russia's got so many outside resources, plus their debt load is just minor, you know, 14%. It's ridiculous. And they've got all these new deals all over the world, and this connection they built with China is sitting on trillions and trillions of dollars. And they're still running an 8%+ growth rate. And their industry is up, again, because of all these new deals that the Energizer Bunny's been doing. So they're just cranking right along. And what are we doing? Setting at 0% and pissing and moaning and trying to start wars and invading countries and toppling countries like the Ukraine and then blaming Putin. This trade sanction bullcrap that they're doing has nothing to do with punishing Putin. It has to do with trying two things. One, slow down that monstrous energy deal with China, number one, because China needs energy because they have a lot. They have the manufacturing, they have the people, they have the economics, but they don't have the energy. Russia's got the energy. That's one. Second is they're trying to cripple Europe by pushing them to go along with these U.S. sanctions, because who's going to hurt the worst? Europe, because Europe is totally integrated with Russia's economy. Germany especially, 6,200 corporations, German companies, function in Russia. So they seem to get along with them fine. So if they force these sanctions and force the EU or the European nations to go along with this crap, it boomerangs back and cripples Europe, who is like the U.S. outside of one or two countries, running zero growth. They're starting to implement QE strategies over there. So they get crippled. They get pushed up against the wall. Then Obama can slide in there and get them to sign this TTIP deal, which nobody knows anything about unless you're in our group. You know, and so nothing is what you think it is, and it saddens my heart. And I agree with what Ron Paul was saying. Just because I disagree with what these idiots back where you live are doing to our country or around the world doesn't mean I dislike my country. And that's the first thing that happens whenever you have any kind of criticism, is the first thing they do is attack you personally over your views by trying to make you feel guilty because your views may not be mainstream or along with your party or whatever the bullcrap is. It's all smoke and mirrors. So here's what's going to happen, and it's important. If you follow Schiff or Rickert or any of these guys who are brilliant economics guys, investors, understand the world market. And we've played a lot of their stuff on this show. And if you follow them, they are talking a lot about the BRICS. I mean, they've talked even before BRICS banks was finally got formulated. There are two different banks or banking systems. One is an emergency fund system. But anyway, if you follow them, they say there is a correction coming. Never, and especially Dr. Paul Roberts, I just crack me up when he's interviewed. He's gone, because he was the economics guy under the Reagan administration. He designed it. And so he gets economics. But he was, and what is so telling when he talks and he's answering, Q&A on alternative media stuff, and he says, I don't know what to tell you because all this shit they're doing nowadays would have been illegal in my day. So I can't tell you when and who and where is necessarily exactly going to happen because we've never been in this arena before in this country. And we've had hard times. We've had economic downs. We've had depressions and we've had recessions. But when the crash happened in 2008, the balance sheet for the Fed was like $700 billion. It's almost $5 trillion today. We have $17-plus trillion debt. We have $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And everything that caused the 2008 crash is times 100. They're doing it all again, building these bubbles, pushing this cheap money under the market. And Dr. Craig Roberts was talking about this in one of his clips. He was saying, you think there's stock market activity. Yeah, there is some, but he said most of it is just the companies buying their own stocks back. They're just accumulating. It's like this insanity. They have nothing. They've got all this fake printed money they're getting from the Fed, and there's no economic growth in the country or minimal. Zero is pretty low. Okay, and so these companies are just keep buying up their stocks. They're like playing with them, trading with themselves. That's not an economy, folks. You know, what made America great was we had resources, we had labor force, we had opportunity, and we made shit, and we traded around the world. That's what made America great. What is destroying our country is we don't make shit anymore. It's all offshored. Our corporations have fled. Our labor force is questionable. what are they learning in college? You know what I'm saying? And we make war. That is not an economy. That is a fake economy that has to be propped up. So they print money and they tax you, and they print money and they tax you, and then they have a war, and then they print money and they tax you, and they sell debt. Well, the rest of the world's not buying our debt anymore. They're tired of it. Everybody moved in 2008. Everybody ran to the dollar as a safe haven when the world economy crashed. This time, everybody's moving away from the dollar because they look back at our politicians, at what the Fed's been doing, and what this current president is his moves are. They look at America and go, no longer safe place. I'm moving away. I've got to protect my country and my people. I have responsibility to my country, and it's changing. And it's changing not because they're evil. It's changing because we've changed. And until we get that back, it's just click, 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 just waiting. That clock is just ticking. I don't know when – I'm not an expert on this shit. You know, I study, I read, I listen, I try to, you know, educate myself, you know, look at the big picture and what's going on all over the world and what's going on in the country. And then I look out across the world and I go, huh, it looks kind of gloomy out there. What the hell are we doing about it? And then I look back at my country and I go, oh, they're like doing nothing. And they're flooding across their border and they're lying about growth and they're lying about unemployment and the Fed's still printing money and everybody, you know, is lying about the stock market, and okay, that's really cool. And I look back across the world, and I go, oh, there's this BRICS thing formed. Why did it form? You know, what's going on? Who are the countries involved? Interesting. Okay, I look back at my country and go, well, who is my country mad at? Oh, they're mad at that country and that country. Oh, that's funny, because they're those BRICS guys. So they're making up all these freaking false flags and all this BS because they don't know how to deal with the fact that there's a new player in town, and it's powerful. It's economically powerful and it's militarily powerful. And so then you get guys like McCain running around trying to create an enemy for America to be mad at instead of looking at what we need to fix in our country. And as long as you have leaders like that and high-level position like him in the Senate, and those kind of people running the rhetoric and the news complacent across this country, nothing changes. And if you keep electing these people and putting them in office when there's good people running against them, instead of giving those new people a chance to, you know, to implement some change before they become corrupt too, who the hell knows? It's a hellhole in Washington, D.C. Well, we need fresh blood because the old guys are screwing it up. And we don't have a lot of wiggle room left, so to speak. Shit's getting serious out there. I mean, I just, you know, scanning things while we were doing the show, and I'm just like, man, is anybody following this crap? Am I just crazy? It ain't hard to find. You know, if you got the sources and you – yeah, I might be crazy. Who knows? So, I mean, back to the simple basics. Wake the hell up and quit living in fear and quit accepting the status quo and start demanding accountability. You know, the Republicans are so good at screaming about Obama this, Obama that, Obama this. But I'm thinking, you know, who voted to raise taxes? Who voted for the debt ceiling increases? Who voted for – I mean, we're not even in a war. We're winding down two wars. And the $600 billion for military, oh, that's not enough. We need more. Oh, bullcrap. I study military development, you know, in the industry. And there's so much waste and fraud. How about just stopping the 30-plus percent waste and fraud in the federal government just for a starter? How about taking care of our people in our country, our veterans, our cities that are collapsing, our elderly people? Instead of trying to start more wars all over the world and worrying about what's going on in frickin' Syria and the Ukraine and everywhere else in the world, what the frick does that got to do with us? What about our veterans? How about the 100,000 that have committed suicide? Who's taking care of that? Who's putting a stop to that? What about the VA scandal? You know, I'm thinking, how in the hell can people get so off track so easily, you know? I study this stuff because I'm interested in geopolitics, but how can people be such sheep to this bullshit that comes across the news and media, especially Fox News? And Fox is a master at producing enemies for American conservatives and Republicans and Christians to get all mad about. The enemy's right here. Our country's falling to freaking apart. Wake the hell up. Shut off the damn cable news and get some better sources so you can learn what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, whether it be Russia, whether it be China, whether it be what really is going on in Syria or what's really going on in Iraq, who ISIS is, really, who started them, who funded them, where'd that money come from? That thing you said about Qatar and the $11 billion, Qatar is the number one funder of Sunni terrorism in the Middle East. $11 billion deal. What in the hell gives us the right to criticize what any other country is doing when we do shit like that? Who in the hell is holding those people accountable? I wonder how many Republican signatures are on that frickin' sale. Huh, Rex? Back to you, man.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right. Well, doom happens, and that was awesome. I'm going to try to get out of here real quick, but just want to make a couple of points. What Chris was talking about, all the stuff you want to know, BRICS and the dollar and the economy and the wars and all that stuff, just get in Liberty's talk. It is a relatively organized space on crazy Facebook where there's a lot of data being culled so that you can triangulate and get the real information. What's happening is insane. If you go back 40 years, I know some of you aren't even 40, but if you go back 40 years, you would not even be able to envision that this was going to happen. Even if you knew some of the patterns, you couldn't believe that it would actually happen, and here we are. And here's the crazy thing. When you read history, and if you don't, you better start, because if you don't know where you're coming from, you have no idea how to get where you want to go, because things happened in the past in similar patterns. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, you will never be able to correct them. But when you read history, in a couple of pages or a chapter, you might span 100, 200, 300 years. And you'll go, wow, look at all that stuff that happened. Well, it seemed to be kind of dramatic and quick for you because you were reading it. But for the people that lived there, it was almost imperceptible. It's hard to notice. Because most of these things, and I'm talking about financial collapses, wars, pandemics, plagues, all that stuff, rarely happens in the blink of an eye. We're used to seeing it in a two-hour movie where you go from, you know, the beginning to the middle to the character arc to the conclusion, and everything's happy at the end. But that's not how it works. Rome was collapsing around their ears. Most people probably didn't notice it until whatever it is that they were involved in collapsed. The bubonic plague took Europe. A third of the population died. We read about it in a couple of paragraphs. People lived it, see it slowly. So when history writes this period, going from 1913 to today, it'll cover a lot of stuff relatively quickly, and most of us don't even notice that it's happening. But it is happening. We talk about it every week. You've got to know. You have to have this information because it is the only way you can talk to people and have them drop their favorite pet peeve issue, their favorite political stance, their favorite arguing point, their favorite TV channel, their favorite blog, their favorite candidate, their favorite issue, and start looking at the broad picture and realize it is a dire situation. It's dire. It's bad. You have to start working together. I am so sick and tired of all the stupidity on the right. Yeah, they're right. I don't care about the left. The left are psychotic, crazy idiots. I'm not really worried about them. I'm talking about conservatives, libertarianish conservatives, libertarians, even ANCAPs. All right? If you're an anarcho-capitalist, let's be clear about something. You're not going to find an anarcho-capitalist utopian paradise anywhere on the planet. So maybe you at least work with us towards something a little bit less than ideal for you, maybe minarchism. If you're a minarchist, well, we're not going to get there either, but maybe you can come a little further to the left and join us in at least a free market. Let's work on those things, sound money, free markets, diffusion of power, federalism, getting rid of the IRS, auditing and ending the Fed. You do that, the wars will not end. In fact, I suspect we'll still have several big ones. That's just the state of the world. But we won't be the imperial aggressor. We will actually be the reasonable defender and possibly liberator when necessary, because we won't have the unending quantitatively eased resources to blow up the planet, to fund terrorists and then go kill terrorists, to blow things up and then rebuild them. See, that's the game that they play, because the people behind it are skimming a little bit off every time, a little bit of money, a little bit of resources, a little bit of wealth, a little bit of territory, and women and children and young men and women and old people are dying, literally dying. All right, you talk about the Israeli Gaza conflict like it's just some kind of political point. I stand with Israel. Oh, Hamas is a victim of Israel. It's such crap. People on both sides of that wall are dying. Granted that the death toll is, you know, it's like 10 or 20 to 1, but people on both sides are dying. That's not a good situation, and it's not happening for any really legitimate reason. These things are orchestrated. They are set up. They are designed to elicit a particular result, and they are used to divide you on things that don't matter to you. Now, you're not going to save every child on the planet. You're not going to save every woman. You're not going to. We can't even take care of the criminals in our own borders, and our borders are wide open, and we're inviting more criminals in. You start at home. You heal yourself. You restore order and liberty and diffusion of power to your country, to your nation, to your community, to your state. And we have to work together to do that. You can't reach out to people if all you're going to do is try to ram your pet issue down their throat. Chris mentioned it earlier, like the whole issue with abortion. Okay? That's a cultural issue. Now, I think that it is disgusting that our government has rules in place that permit the murder of anybody. But even if you pass the law tomorrow, which the Republicans won't do, because they love having this as a red meat issue to run on, especially to get Christian voters, it won't stop the murder because you've lost the culture. You got to get off your butt, get out there and help people learn what virtue is, learn what morality is, to become good people. If we're not good moral people, we cannot be free. But you can't legislate that. You can't force it by law. Now, laws cannot make men moral. That's something that you have to do in your heart. We have to help each other do that in our own hearts. The law can't make you do that. But the law has to be moral. You cannot legislate that which is immoral. And that's where they're taking us. Because the only freedom they want you to have is the freedom to pursue pleasure, the freedom to pursue instant gratification, the freedom to pursue entertainment. When it comes to the freedom to build a business, create a job, build a church, reach out to somebody, that's the kind of freedom they don't want you to have. See, if you take care of the poor, if you help each other, then there's no job for government in the welfare side of the warfare state. So how do they expand the welfare side of the warfare state? They blow up the rest of the world. Warfare and welfare are identical. One is tyranny at home. The other is tyranny abroad. They go hand in hand. Now, there are people who need help in our own country. Granted, we might be the wealthiest of the wealthy on the planet for now, but there are people in our country who are hurting. One out of four Americans doesn't have a job. The right thing to do is to take care of them yourself, voluntarily. You know, understand something. There are children dying in Ukraine. There are children dying in Iraq. There are children dying in Syria. There are children dying in the Holy Land. There are children dying in Africa. There are children dying in South America. But I hate to tell you this. A crappy economy is not make a refugee, and I don't need more here because we could barely take care of our own. You have to be cognizant of the scarcity of resources. Now, let's understand something. And today we had a priest from Malawi come and visit. He's a mission priest there, and he was asking for some support. He was talking to us about how most of his parishioners, and he has 87 churches in his parish, and he's the only priest, have never seen clean water. He was amazed by the ease of clean water we have here just by turning off the tap. But don't start getting into this, you know, fluoride and chemtrail. I'm talking about the fact that our tap water is more or less drinkable. In Malawi, it's never drinkable. A well could be drilled fairly easily, and he actually paid for one to have drilled. He raised the money to do it by a private company. The government's never done it. Yet that government has received millions from the IMF, probably from us, from other people because it never gets to the people. This money flow, these so-called trade deals, these schemes, they are not about getting money to help anybody, and neither is the welfare in this country. It is designed to turn people into clients and slaves. You're supposed to be the welfare. But if they keep stealing all our money to blow up the planet and debasing our dollar, and they got so much debt now, the only way out of it is to make it worthless. They have to reduce its value by inflating the hell out of it. Because Jenny Yellen's going to be too afraid to move the interest rates north. At some point, the market forces will take off, and it'll be horrible. We have to prepare for that now. And I'm not talking about just preparing by, like, stocking up goods in your basement, although that's not necessarily a bad idea. I'm talking about preparing for the structural changes we need to make here. Otherwise, it'll be such chaos that nobody, except for possibly a few of us, will have the courage to actually survive. It'll be an issue of let's just turn to the government and see what it is that they can do. How can they save us? And they thought, oh, you know, we're going to have to implement these rules and these measures and martial law, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And, you know, and then they'll start looking for scapegoats and tell, well, you know, it's the Christians. They're intolerant. We're going to have to put them away. That's how it happens. And it can happen here. Don't think for a second. It's already happened here. If you beat your girlfriend but you happen to be a good Ravens football player, well, you'll get suspended for 2 games, right? But if you happen to have given money to a political cause that would deny same-sex marriage rights to homosexuals, well, you're going to get fired from Mozilla. If you won't bake a gay wedding cake, you're going to go to prison and re-education camp, right? This is the kind of stuff that's already happening here. Get your heads out of your asses. Liberty is about getting along with people who may not exactly think like you. And since most Americans are allegedly Christian, your job as a Christian is to witness so that other people will want to be Christians. You can't make them Christians. You can't legislate them to be Christians. You can't use your Bible as the basis for our laws. It doesn't work that way. Religious liberty is in the First Amendment for a reason. And we're still one of the few countries that even have it written. Most other places in the world don't have religious liberty written into any of their constitutions if they have a constitution. You know, everybody's now, you know, I stand with Israel. Well, Israel doesn't have a written constitution, and they don't provide religious liberty by law to anybody, not even those that they don't even consider the appropriate type of Jew. Vietnam is coming down hard on Christians. Look at what ISIS is doing in Iraq. And if you're not a Christian, you don't think this matters to you, guess what? If we're the target today, for whatever reason or whoever gets in power, you'll be the target tomorrow. The idea is to not put the power in the hands of people who will do these kinds of things. You distribute the power. You create competition. You get people to talk to each other, to trade with each other. That tends to reduce conflict. There will always be war. There will always be fights. There will always be criminals. There will always be thieves and rapists and murderers. That's the world. But we don't have to encourage it, and we certainly don't have to elect them. That's what's happening. That's where we are. And unless we start to get along and work hard to make things happen, like defending Justin Amash this Tuesday and electing Carr on Thursday, and standing with Rand even when he says one or two or even three things that you don't like, because so far on the broad principles, on liberty, on the Constitution, on civil liberties, on sound money, he's running point. And this isn't about his presidential run. This is about the fact that on the national stage, in the media, the controlled media, and in the government right now, he represents most of us, because most of America is somewhere in the Rand spectrum. And when they attack him, they're attacking you. So don't turn around and attack him or attack each other. Why don't you attack his enemies, our enemies, instead of each other? That's where we are. You know, today's gospel reading was about the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And that's an important thing, because we can have material abundance and prosperity if we get our heads on right. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to look at your fellow human beings as fellow human beings and figure out how we order our life together so that we can each fulfill our own destiny. our unique individual destiny where we will all have equality before the law. You have to get along to make that happen, because right now the structures and the institutions and the powers that be are not interested in that. The reason they come across as so many scandalous things is because they are completely lawless, and they're extremely sanctimonious. They think they have the moral authority to know what's better for you and me than we can for ourselves. And instead of suggesting it to us, they're making us comply. In liberty, you suggest to people how you think they ought to live because you care for them. It's up to them to accept it, reject it, or modify it. Without liberty, your moral betters, your intellectual betters, for your own good, will tell you how to live your life. And if you don't comply, then perhaps your life is not that important and you're an inconvenience that can be removed. That's why we are where we are. Wake up. Get others to wake up. Join us next week. Spread the show. Make sure you finish out these primaries as strong as possible and realize that November is not about voting. It is about far more than voting. Change the ballot access rules. Support conservatives and libertarian conservatives. Take over the right wing of the duopoly. Prepare for the pain we are going to experience sooner or later. And let's restore America to her greatness, where we can be greater in the future than we have been in the past, but not if we allow these neocon rhino pricks to take our country down by handing Obama and the Democrats everything they want while they pander to you to keep giving them money and votes. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
You win!
Welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right. We cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master. And deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better red than dead, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. This is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We will keep in mind and remember that Barry Goldwater has faith in us. He has faith that you and I have the ability and the dignity and the right to make our own decisions and determine our own destiny. Thank you very much.
Trust the Republicans.
Let me be clear, I don't trust the Republicans. And I don't trust the Democrats. And I think a whole lot of Americans, likewise, don't trust the Republicans and the Democrats because it is leadership in both parties that has gotten us in this mess.
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have, and I think it's sad to watch the establishment.
There are a lot of D.C. consultants that say there's a choice for Republicans to make. We can either choose to keep our head down, to not rock the boat, to not stand for anything, or we can stand for principle. And they say if you stand for principle, you lose elections. The way to do it, the smart way, the Washington way, is don't stand against Obamacare. Don't stand against the debt ceiling. Don't stand against nothing. I want to tell you something. That is a false dichotomy. You want to lose elections? Stand for nothing. Look at the last four congressional elections, 06, 08, 10, and 12. Three of the four, we followed that strategy. 06, 08, and 12, we put our head down, we stood for nothing, and we got walloped. The one election that was a tremendous election was 2010 when Republicans drew a line in the sand. We said we stand unequivocally against Obamacare, against bankrupting the country, and we won an historic tidal wave of an election. And then, of course, all of us remember President Dole and President McCain and President Romney. Now, look, those are good men. They're decent men. But when you don't stand and draw a clear distinction, when you don't stand for principle, Democrats celebrate.
Well, look, I'm a big fan of Rand Paul's. He and I have fought side by side on fight after fight after fight in the U.S. Senate, and I anticipate we'll continue to fight side by side. He's a terrific voice for liberty.
Imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. You may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty. It isn't good enough to pick the lesser of two evils. We must elect men and women of principle and conviction and action who will lead us back to greatness. There is a great and tumultuous battle underway for the future, not of the Republican Party, but the future of the entire country. As our voices rise in protest, the NSA monitors your every phone call. If you have a cell phone, you are under surveillance. I believe what you do on your cell phone is none of their damn business.